commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire...
Celsius Hockey.
Hey, it's time once again for another Big Fake Radio Show. Joining me as always is new Larry, Kevin Jank.
I'm going to go find a fire hose. Mike Dell, you keep Gizmo safe in a box so that he doesn't get wet. Tuffy, smoke.
Hey, that actually fits.
Yep.
That's a line from the movie we're watching this evening, Gremlins 2, The New Batch.
Gad.
All right, also joining us is my personal attorney, spiritual advisor, Tuffy.
Let's get out of here. This place smells like burnt meatloaf.
Yeah, on a good day. And also, we have a very special guest. You might hear him on the line already. The Ed!
Yeah, my dick's bigger than this fire hose.
That's not a quote from the movie. That's
not... It could have been. Couldn't always understand the Gremlins.
Did you like the Gremlins, the Ed?
Yeah, that was the two Corey kids that played each Gremlin.
No. Although I believe
he wasn't the first one. Yeah, Corey.
Yeah, he wasn't the first one. That was one of his first films. But yeah,
he was Gremlin. No, he was Jimmy. He was Jimmy the Gremlin, and the other guy was Frankie the Gremlin.
They
went all through the whole city of Gremlin Nation. And they was, you know, trying to fight. And they found what they was looking for.
Uh-huh.
But they had to search high, and they had to search low.
Yeah.
But they did lots of things that people don't know. It was a long day.
All right. Anyway,
an epic poem.
Tonight we're watching Gremlins 2. Did you ever see the sequel?
I saw 2, 3, and 4. It was a quadruple feature at the drive-in.
Hey, it's odd you bring that up. I was talking to my uncle the other day. He's going to an all-night drive-in, I think tonight. They're watching like 4 old zombie movies in a row.
Aw.
That's crazy.
Jesus Christ.
4 zombie movies in a row.
My favorite zombie movie of all time. My favorite zombie movie of all time?
I do not know.
Well, yeah, it was about this little monster.
A little monster.
And he was really cool. He was a kid at first. No, that's a kid from left field.
Yeah, that's right.
That was a scary movie, too.
Well, he took his shirt off, was dancing on the table?
Just to think that some little fat black kid could play in the major leagues like that.
He wasn't fat. He was ripped. And he wasn't playing in the major leagues. He was their manager. Is what he was. Yeah.
It's even worse. That's like letting a kid drive a car at 16.
I think that's the law in most states.
Maybe the Bears should hire him as a manager.
Yeah. But what's your favorite zombie movie, though, the about a kid?
And he grew up
to be a zombie.
Well, his mom made some chili. Turned everybody into zombies.
Oh no!
It was zombie chili.
Zombie chili.
Then they had zombie chili meets a vegan, and man, zombie chili kicked the shit out of that kid.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure I saw that listed on Tubi. You can check out zombie chili next.
Yeah, it's on Tubi.
Yeah, you know, the whole zombie section.
All right, Ed. Well, thank you for joining us this evening, Ed. And of course, the only reason you're here is because your wife left the house.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Three nights she's got to work in a row.
Three nights in a row. Taking care
Friday
of a guy
night,
again.
Same Saturday client. Night, Sunday night.
So you're going to do fake radio tonight. What are you doing the rest of the weekend?
We're doing a triple feature.
Oh, yeah.
Rebel, sit down. Rebel keeps biting me.
Oh, that's your new dog, right?
Yeah. His dog be biting the hell out of me. He don't care. He thinks I'm like an old piece of gristle.
Yeah, I believe you're outside trying to fix a hose. Is that what's happening right now?
Yeah. You know, the doctor bought a new hose.
Like a garden hose.
Yeah. We had one, or we got one, and it's one of them flex hoses that you see on TV. Man, that thing's like 100 goddamn feet.
Whoa.
I'm trying to unwind this thing. Because it's all tangled up and everything. Because we bought another one that's only 20 feet.
That's
tangible. I mean, 100 feet, I could fucking do the whole goddamn neighborhood.
It's a long hose.
So, better deal than $100 an inch.
Yeah, but what's so great about this hose is just like me. It expands. So, yeah, you might start off 20 feet. You gonna get about 8. Yeah. They're growers, not showers.
Yeah, he's fixing his hose.
And then Rebel's out here with a stick. He always gets a stick and wants me to throw it.
What kind of dog is Rebel again?
What kind of dog are you again? A golden doodle, he said.
That's right. Yeah, golden. Because when you told me the first time, I was like, well, that's just ridiculous.
It's like $2,600 for this fucking dog. They charge money for dogs now. Remember you could just find a dog on the street?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, man, let's go.
That's how my cat was found. My ex-wife just found him on the street. Yeah.
Is that cat still alive?
No, that cat, he passed away years ago, sadly. Yeah,
we found, who'd we find, Jenk or Tuffy on the street? It was one of them. Tuffy had a sign, we'll lawyerize for food.
No, that's like, right,
yeah.
Well, he's still home, so if anyone's got any food, let me know.
Yeah. I mean, it's rough in those streets as a lawyer. He's a street lawyer, see? The thing that Tuffy came up on was old card games and dice games. He'd represent people when they'd get beats at the games.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he had to shoot two guys, I think.
Wow.
I don't know if he killed them.
All that for some good beans.
Shot him. Yeah.
And that's why Mike Dell is no longer a client.
Tuffy always wanted bean pies. He loved them.
Bean pies. Hey, the Ed, last week you were going to come on the show, but you couldn't because you were attending a very special concert. You remember this last week?
Yeah.
Would you like to tell the kids who you saw perform live last week?
Well, this was in Las Vegas. Friend, I'm going to go back again.
What are you eating? You're outside fixing a hose and you're eating.
No, I came in now. Hey, Rebel, come here. Give me that bag.
What are you eating?
A bag of cookies. That shit's mine, man. Them cookies they can't have.
What kind of cookies?
Oreo.
Oh, you do love the Oreos. We've established that in the past. All right. But, yeah, last week you went to a concert.
Well, you can't take that, dumb fuck. Come here. God damn it, he's going to kill himself because he keeps grabbing little things to chew on.
Yeah.
Well. If he does it, he does it. Yeah. All right, so last week we went to this concert. And you guys ever been to a concert before?
I actually haven't.
That's so sad.
Well, like, I've been to, like, outdoor concerts, you know, and stuff, like at parks and everything. But, like, in terms of, like, buying a ticket and attending a concert, no, I've never really done that. Yeah.
Well, we went to go see Billy Joel. Wow. And Fat Benatar. And
Billy Joel. And Fat Benatar.
They were pretty good. Like, it's Billy Joel, but he's fat.
Yeah. So it's Billy Joel. Yeah.
Yeah. Billy Joel. he's all the great hits.
Was he like the main event? Or like the Fat Benatar open for him?
No, Fat Benatar came out first.
Yeah. How'd she
and
look?
Then,
who's fatter?
She was a heavy hitter, I'll tell you that. She was a heavy hitter.
I was hoping you would have just said fat. That would have been the answer.
What? Well, you know, let me tell you something about that. I was sitting next to Chunky Brewster, and she's got a new
All right.
Yeah. So, I mean.
Pat Benatar opened the show.
And, yeah, it was a fat-filled night, I tell you.
Did Chunky Brewster seem to like the show?
Yeah, she really did. Yeah.
And then Billy Joel came out. I'm sure he brought down the house. Do you remember any favorite songs that he sang?
Well, he sang that Uptown song. He sang, what did he sing? Oh, Pizza Town. Now we're sitting here in Pizza Town. I'm waiting for the driver to come. He's got the sausage, pepperoni, and cheese. Oh, please, I'm down on my knees. And I'm waiting for the guy from Pizza Town. Oh. That's a good restaurant.
That is pretty good, yeah.
Then
Piano Man, that was another, or Billy Joel's big hit was Piano Man, right? Did Billy Joel play that?
I don't know that one.
All right.
Then,
I was trying to tee you up, but all right.
Here's what they had, though. They did dueling bellies. Fat Benatar and Billy Joel came out together.
Like dueling banjos, but dueling bellies.
Dueling bellies, yeah. It was a sight to see, man.
Either of them threw a cannonball to the belly at any point.
In slow motion.
No, but Billy Joel, when Billy Joel pulled up his shirt, he had like a bullseye painted on, like Target. He showed the crowd, and everybody liked it. And so they had these arrows that had sticky stuff on them. And it was $10 to try to get a bullseye on Billy Joel's belly. Yeah, people lined up for that. I missed. I was off to the right just a little.
Such a big target. Like,
well, it was a big target, man, but that bullseye was a little bitty thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How big of a crowd are we talking? Were they moving a lot of tickets for the show, or?
Oh, man, I bet you there's probably 300,000-400,000 there.
What?
Pounds or people?
People. Yeah. I mean, it filled up a whole room.
How many songs can Billy Joel do in a row before he has to take a break or have a snack?
Well, it's interesting that you said that. Because he had a bucket of fried chicken on the piano.
And, like an Ozzy would bite the head off a bat, but he's just biting the heads off of fried chicken.
Yeah, but check this out. During his performance, someone went over the microphone and said, "We have Uber Eats for Billy Joel." And he had to stop playing and go pick up his Uber Eats.
He's ordering his meal during the show.
Yeah, and he already had the bucket of chicken.
I mean, he really is fat. As Billy Joel.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad the concert was a big success. So.
Yeah. And then Fat Benatar, she sang some songs. And she had
What was her big song? Do you remember her big song?
Her big song was Heartbreaker.
Oh,
okay. But Fat Benatar didn't sing that.
Do you remember any songs Fat Benatar did sing?
She sang Fart Maker.
Because she eats so much.
Fart Maker, don't you smell up now with me? I'm a Fart Maker. And she did. She farted into the microphone.
Probably all those bean pies she was eating.
The funny part was. She almost got me. But after she farted in the microphone, then she said, "Everybody sing along." And she was putting the microphone up to people's mouths.
That's not nice.
Oh, my goodness.
You have Any other concerts planned for the future here yet? Any other upcoming dates that you're going to go see?
I don't know. Their show was sponsored by Weight Watchers.
Well, that seems odd, but all right. Fair enough.
It works if you work it. They don't work it.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time, Ian. So what else has been going on in your world?
I went on a cruise with the doctor.
What? Because of the end, I've been watching Love Boat every night. I fucking love the Love Boat.
Nah, this I didn't get no love on this fucking boat.
Not even from the doctor?
Oh, man, she kept catching me every time I was about to do something.
Wait, catching you with another lady or catching you with her? What's going on? I don't understand what's happening.
Well, I wasn't really doing nothing. One night I woke up about 2 in the morning and I got out of the room. And I was walking around on the deck, and this lady starts talking to me.
Oh, okay.
So we're talking, you know, exchanging what you call pleasantries.
Uh-huh.
And they were pretty pleasant, too. And all of a sudden, I get a tap on my shoulder. I turn around. It's the doctor.
The doctor.
She's like, Ed, what are you doing? I was like, nothing. She's like, who's this? And I don't know, some chick I just met. And she said, does she have a name? I said, what's your name? The girl said, Michelle. Well, she said, Michelle, Ed will not be talking to you any longer. And she grabbed on my head.
By your head?
Yeah. Goddamn headlock. So then she tries to tell me I'm not allowed to leave the room without her.
Wow.
Okay. I'm like, what is this? So it was Saturday night and they have a big dinner and she tells me that my stomach hurts. She goes, and your stomach hurts. You're not going to go to dinner today.
She told you that your stomach hurts.
Yeah. She said,
well,
no,
she is a doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah, she knows what's coming.
I gotta trust it. Yeah. So about 6 o'clock she left. She was in a goddamn gown and everything. Like it was a nice, she was going to eat nice place. But they had a few nice places on there. So it used to be about 8 o'clock. I'm hungry. I'm like, man, I don't think the doctor knows I don't have no stomach ache. So I get up, put my shoes on, my socks, my underwear, t-shirt, shorts, and I walk down. Guess who I see on the same deck that I was talking to that lady on?
At Benatar?
No. The doctor's there.
Uh-huh.
And you ain't gonna believe this. Her patient happens to be on the same cruise.
Oh my goodness.
Chances. This is like an episode of The Love Boat.
It does. I actually saw something very similar to this.
But, and he was in his wheelchair.
Oh.
So, I don't know how he got on the boat. I seen her and I said, hey, what are you doing? She goes, oh, hey, look who I found. I'm like, hey, there's 3,000 people on this fucking ship.
Where were you taking this cruise to exactly? Like, you had to go to California, I take it, and then...
No, we went to Miami and jumped on there, and then we went to Bahama.
You went all the way down to Miami, all right.
Yeah, flew a plane.
Wow. Then you went to the Bahamas. How about that?
Yeah.
Do you like taking the cruise, the Ed?
I didn't get off the boat.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
She probably wouldn't let you get off the boat.
No, she went. She got off the boat. I didn't.
Do you like to, I've obviously never been on a cruise. I don't leave my house. Do you like being on a ship like that, the Ed?
Mm-mm.
No?
No. But we got another one playing, she said.
Where are you taking this next one?
Gargamel. Don't like that.
You're going to go see the Smurfs?
Yeah, you're finding Smurf Village?
No, it's some... Yeah, some little island called Gargamel.
Well, how long was the cruise? Was it like a week? Or?
Yeah, it was like 4 days. This next one's going to be 7.
What else did you do on the... Because, you know, you weren't having sex at all on the boat, apparently. So were you like... were there shows?
Yeah, they had a comedy kid, a comedy girl, a couple singers. I mean, Billy Joel should actually be getting on one of these.
Yeah.
He'd be a big fan favorite, yeah. I'm sure. How about the food? Was the food any good?
At some of the restaurants, the food was real good, but the shit they had during the day was real bad. But if you went out to the pool... They had a guy, he was grilling. That guy was good. He knew what he was doing on that.
What kind of beverage did you just open up, Ed?
Sun-kissed.
Sun-kissed. Don't hear those too often anymore.
I know. I'm like, jeez. I'm like, you can't get coke. Jesus Christ. Fucking Sun-kissed. Who drinks that shit?
So, anything else happen on it? Because, you know, on the Love Boat, yet they have all kinds of activities. They have Julie, who is the, you know, your activities coordinator on the show.
Oh, and, yeah, she
was great, yeah. And they always have something going on for the people. But one of the things that I like on the Love Boat that they have organized for the people to do is skeet shooting. They give them, they have them right up on the deck.
Shooting clay skeets.
Off the yeah, so they just give a person a rifle right there on the boat, say, have at it. They do that.
I see no way this can go wrong.
I know. Yeah. I love boat with people being jealous and angry and everything. Here's a shotgun. See what you can do.
It was called, I forget what kind of cruise it was. It was Carnival Cruise or something like that. But there wasn't Carnival, motherfucker.
I believe the Love Boat was Princess Cruise Lines. That was the Love Boat. Did you meet a bartender named Isaac?
No, you know I know Isaac in real life.
I wasn't aware of this, or at least I forgot if I did know this.
Yeah, that's Ted.
Yeah, Ted Lang.
Yeah.
What about Gopher? Did you meet Gopher?
I never seen him. Ain't he like a mayor of Louisiana?
Yeah, he's some politician or something, yeah. Captain Steubing.
Yeah, who was that? Gavin McLeod?
That's right, it was Gavin McLeod. Oh, then Bernie Capel was the doctor.
He was Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah, he was. He was Murray Slaughter.
Murray Schlepinger.
Slaughter. And then Bernie Capel, who was Siegfried on Get Smart, he was the doctor on the Love Boat.
That guy was the worst fucking doctor.
He was a ladies' man, though. Even though he looked like Bernie Capel, he was a ladies' man, and he was always he's a tomcat, you know, always around there.
I don't know. I think why? Do you know the episodes that he got women are the ones that he actually wrote?
But I love the Love Boat, yeah, and you can get 4 episodes on YouTube. But I've seen 2 episodes now where the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders were on.
Damn, they're cruising a lot, huh?
Yeah, two different episodes of the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, did you see about this new TV show that's coming out?
Probably not, but I can't wait to hear about it.
It's a reboot of the Golden Girls.
What?
Yes, and guess who's in it?
Betty White?
No, but guess who, this person is writing the show and starring in the show.
If you say Tina Fey.
Tyler Perry.
Oh, yes. It's that goddamn Tina Fey.
Tina Fey's in a reboot of the Golden Girls?
Yeah, her and Phoebe from Friends. And then the black chick on Saturday Night Live, Minnie Riperton's daughter.
I don't know any of the words you just said.
Maya Rudolph?
Yeah. Yeah, Rudolph. Matt Rudolph. Yeah, Minnie Tipperton.
Who's Minnie Riperton? I have no idea who that is.
Oh, she's the singer, yeah.
Yeah, she died. Many
like that loving you is easy because it's beautiful.
I'm beautiful and I'm gonna fuck you.
And she gets really high.
I'm reading on the internet that this is not actually happening.
You just invented this in your head yet?
Now, there was a story going around that this was happening, but it was made up. It's not true.
All right. It is true. I read it on the internet.
I haven't seen Tina Fey in many a year, so it'd be nice to see Tina Fey again.
She's on some commercial now.
Yeah, I did see that, actually. I did. Yeah, I have seen her then. Yeah, I saw the commercial.
But listen to this. The character Blanche, she's on OnlyFans in this part, in this movie.
Hey, Rue McClanahan was on a couple different episodes of The Love Boat. One of them, she was trying to marry Ted Knight. The Love Boat is the greatest show ever made. It's amazing.
You always knew when there was a black lady on there that Isaac was getting some.
Yeah, whenever there's a black passenger, it's all Isaac. He's in there.
Yeah.
But man, it is. Jimmy Walker was on an episode. He was great.
And that's the one where they found out Isaac was gay. I was like, Jesus.
But yeah, The Love Boat is awesome. They need shows like this on TV more. You know?
Jimmy Walker kept telling Isaac, let me see your dynamite.
Let me see your dynamite. What else? Hey, the NFL draft is going on right now. Tuffy's very excited because the Chicago Bears had the first overall pick, and they chose Caleb Williams. How do you feel about that, Tuffy?
That's the wrong fucking pick.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still on Team Justin Fields. We'll see how things go in the fall.
What's going to be so bad is that the Bears trade Justin Fields and they won 7 games. They're going to win 4 this year with Caleb Williams.
I don't know anything about
Caleb Williams. We got that Romeo Dunze playing wide receiver now.
He's from Vegas.
Name.
I know his daddy. He's from Vegas.
But you already have DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. Do you really need to take another wide receiver?
Okay, look at the other teams in the division. They're not better than the Packers. They're not better than the Vikings. And they're not better than the Lions. They're still going to come in fourth place.
No, they're better than
the Vikings. Oh, I think they're better than the Vikings. They're not better than the Vikings. No. Calm down. Calm down.
No.
Let's check with Tuffy first. Do you like them getting that wide receiver, even though they already have Allen and Moore?
Yeah, what the hell? Why not?
Well, he's better than Allen or Moore.
All right, I suppose. But I just, can you get all 3 of them on the field all the time? You know, it seems.
Well,
everybody's running 3 wide receiver packages these days.
The Bears are the only team in NFL history to not have a passer throw for more than 4,000 yards in a season.
Will Caleb Williams be the first, Ed? Will he do it?
Yes.
Yeah, he will. Because they're going to be down. They're going to be throwing.
Yeah, I don't know anything about this kid. But
they still got that stupid coach. That fucking coach is going to be like, hey, we're still running the ball, even though we got a quarterback and receivers.
So, number 2 overall, Jaden Daniels, right, to Washington?
Terrible pick.
Oh, it doesn't like him either, huh?
No, because listen, he sucked at Arizona State. All he did is go to LSU with a great team around him. Anybody could do that. It's the quarterbacks that play at mediocre places that make people around them better are the quarterbacks.
Caleb Williams at USC.
USC, that small school that never competed.
No, Caleb Williams was worse last year with better people. He was better at Oklahoma.
He was just resting up, so he knew he had to be good for the Bears.
They had to overexert himself. Then Drake May went 3rd to the Patriots. So, and then he had 6 quarterbacks overall in the first round, and people were acting like they're all going to be good.
Drake May's not going to be good either.
Yeah, he's the youngest, right? Isn't he like only 20 or 21 or something? And
yeah.
Seems like a big clumsy guy.
I mean, eventually the best quarterback in this draft is Michael Penix. But he's not going to play for a year or so.
Yeah, that he went eighth overall to the Falcons after they already they just gave Kirk Cousins $100 million over 2 years. And
yeah, they say, hey, man, sit behind Kirk Cousins and learn how to get the tag, but, franchise tag put on you.
But this Penix kid's already 24.
The Bears gave that long neck guy a huge contract. And
Mike Glennon.
A couple years ago. Yeah.
Mike Glennon. But this Penix, he's already like 24, right? So if he's sitting 2 years, you mean he's not going to be a starter with like 27?
Okay, but listen, players play till 36, 37. You get 10 years out of them. People always, I would rather have an older seasoned quarterback. Bo Nix is actually, probably Bo Nix might be the best one coming out.
He went to Denver. But what if, they got Cousins. You figure that secures the quarterback situation. Well, you know, you just burned a pick. You could have got something that helps the team right now.
Yeah, or traded down for more picks to get more players. Not help.
The Falcons have not been barn burners picking people, so.
Yeah. So who would you have taken first overall yet?
Who would I have picked first overall?
Yes.
Oh, Marvin Harrison Jr.
He went fourth to Arizona, I believe.
Yeah, out here. Right now he's at the Tempe, like the Cardinals' place is probably 4 miles from my house. That's where they have their facilities. And there was a bunch of cars up there today when he was doing his little press conference.
But I guess the other thing is wide receivers, the best wide receivers in the NFL usually get drafted day two, you know. Not too many first-round wide receivers. I think the success rate is like 33% on them.
Calvin Johnson was the first-round wide receiver.
Of the final four quarterbacks last year, Jared Goff was a number one pick. Okay, Mahomes went, middle of the first round. Lamar Jackson, yep. Second round. Brock Purdy, last. So you don't need a number one overall pick. You don't need the top five quarterback, top five pick. You just have to get somebody. My thing is for quarterbacks, get a quarterback who played on a team in college that was mediocre. But he threw for a lot of yards, and he had a good percentage of completions, and he made his teammates better. And that's what Patrick Mahomes did.
Hey, the Steelers got a tackle, and then today I saw they drafted a center, so they're redoing the offensive line.
Yeah. Oh, I got to tell you a story about one of my football people.
Okay.
So my buddy, he used to play in the NFL.
Deshaun King?
No, this is Rick Cunningham. He played for the Raiders and the Colts. So this dude, he when he was in the NFL on the Raiders, his wife got pregnant and had a baby.
Okay.
But the baby was not his.
Uh-oh. Is it yours?
No. But this kid, he raised this kid like it was his own.
He knew it wasn't his, or he didn't?
Yeah. He knew, and he hates the dude. He hates the guy that did it because it was a teammate of his.
Oh.
So now this kid is in the NFL draft this year. I don't know if he got picked or not. Yeah. Do you know who the kid's real daddy is?
You said he played for the Colts?
No. This guy played for the Colts and the Raiders, but when he was on the Raiders, one of his teammates did it.
The Raiders teammate. When did he play exactly?
In the 90s.
The 90s on the Raiders. Yeah. Rich. Bo Jackson.
No.
I don't know. Who was it?
Jerry Rice.
Oh, Jerry Rice.
Yeah. And you'll see that Brendan Rice is going to get picked probably between the second and fifth round as a wide receiver from USC. Now,
Wait a minute. He's using Jerry Rice's last name?
Yes. This is even more fucked
what?
Up.
Yeah, then why is that other guy raising him?
Yeah.
He didn't want to leave his wife. Guess she has some good pussy. But yeah, what's crazy is he uses Jerry Rice's name. But Jerry Rice ain't allowed to come to the house because they're having a draft party at the house.
I say, hey, Jerry, come pick up your kid. That's what you say, you know?
Right, listen to this. Jerry had nothing to do with him until he became good at USC. Jerry never bought him no birthday presents, nothing.
This kid's like, I want that guy's name. Wow.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know when he took that kid's or Jerry name, but he got it now.
Huh. That was not yet.
I know. I'm about to take Dan Marino's last name and get drafted. Dan Marino.
So, all right. Any other big news out of the NFL draft that you like, the Ed? Any other picks or anything?
Man, those picks never pan out. Has anybody good ever came out of the NFL draft?
Yeah, pretty much every player, I think, in the league. But
I mean, I think I'll tell you this. There's more busts than winners.
Yeah. Yeah, they're usually.
Now, listen to this. I got another great story this week that happened.
Oh, okay.
So, you remember, well, I don't want to say that part because then you'll remember and it messes up the story. So, the mail comes every day, you know, in the mailbox.
Yeah, every day. Yep.
Now, usually when I get my mail, I just throw it away. I never even open it. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. Throw it away. I don't care. Nothing but bad news in that goddamn thing.
Yep. Just bills and ads for nonsense. Yep. That's all it is.
Exactly. So the doctor brings the mail in the other day. So she hands me my mail. So when she does that, I have to open it. Jesus Christ. I mean, this is a painful 5 minutes. So the first.
It sounds like your whole life with the doctor is just uncomfortable and awful. Just everything about it.
No, it's great. I love it.
just wanted to check. All right, so she gives you the mail, and it's a painful 5 minutes.
So the first one I open up is somebody's trying to get me a loan they even made a check out to me for $26,000.
That'd be nice. Yeah.
So I pulled that out and I said, "Ooh, shit, I'm going to bank." You know, and said, no, you're not doing that. I'm like, "What the hell? They give me a free $26,000.
Well, it's not really free, but yeah.
So then the next one was a credit card offer. She took that from me.
Yeah. I'm like, it's like you're a child, a very small child, and she has to.
Yeah. So then the next thing I opened up was coupons, and it had like, it was called the Val Pack. You ever seen that before?
Yep. I've seen those before.
Yeah, keep that one. She said, here, take that. So then I had another one that said Kemper Life.
Ooh, you know life insurance.
Kemper Life is? Yeah, life insurance. So I'm figuring, I guess they're going to send me some money or do something or make me, or, you know, give me an offer or something. So I open it up, and I think it's just an ad, but it says, "Dear policyholder," and I'm like, "What the fuck the policyholder?" And it says, you know, it says farther down that all your premiums have been met, and your life insurance has now been paid in full. And it said, Ed Miller, for $150,000. So I'm like, and the payments were like $80 a month and had been paid every month for 20 years since December 2003 to December 2023. Somebody's been paying this fucking $80 a month.
How long have you known the doctor?
Yeah, you haven't known her that long.
No, it wasn't her. So I look at my bank account. Man, I ain't got no $80 a month coming out to no goddamn Kemper Life. So man, I'm like, man, I don't know what's going on. So I tell the doctor. And she's like, well, call up and find out. She goes, it might just be a scam, you know? And I'm like, all right. So I call the number. It's in St. Louis. Some fucking Chinaman answers the phone. I can't understand a fucking thing. I'm like, oh, this is a fucking spam. Jesus Christ. So I'm like, let's hear Long Dong Silver. You got to get another motherfucker on the phone because I don't know what you're saying. So he gets another guy, comes on, hung too low. He comes on. And so I'm like, hung, what do we got here? And I said, did I get a life insurance policy? And he goes, oh, yeah, you know, you have life insurance policy, $150,000, but you don't have to make no more payments. So when you pass away, your beneficiary will get the money. I said, who the fuck is the beneficiary? This is where it gets interesting.
Is it Damashek? Has he been paying this?
No. Do you remember that I had that son in North Carolina and his crazy ass mom?
Yeah. I do remember that.
This bitch got a $150,000 policy on me without telling me. And she made all the payments. So, here's the here's the cool part. So I tell the guy, I'm like, okay, because he tells me her name and says, that's the beneficiary. And I go, oh. I said, well, let me ask you a question. And I said, who's the owner of the policy? And I said, is she the owner? He goes, no, you're the owner. I said, I am? Yeah.
So you made me the beneficiary then? Thanks, Ed.
Well, listen. I asked him, hey, can I switch the beneficiary? He said, yeah. So this bitch been paying all these premiums for fucking 20 years. And I can switch the beneficiary.
That's pretty great.
Yeah. Well, I still owe this dumb broad like $12,000 child support. So, I told the guy, I said, hey, man, is there a cash value to this thing? He told me I could cash out for $82,000. I said, oh, yeah, let's do that. So, he emailed me, and I filled out the paperwork and everything. Now I got to wait 10 to 14 business days, and I have the check in the mail. So now
you're gonna get 82 grand?
Yeah. So listen to this. So now what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna pay the rest of that child support off with her fucking money. So she's made premiums toward her own child support. I've already been contacted by the Child Support Hall of Fame, and they're gonna put me in and put my bust in because it's the greatest thing ever.
Man, I sure hope someone has a life insurance policy on me somewhere. That'd be great.
Yeah. And I get to get all the money and reap the benefits, and I'm still alive. Oh. Hope I am at 10 to 14 business days.
Yeah, maybe yeah. She's going to have you rubbed out before then, you know?
No, because she don't know. She doesn't get no mail on it no more. She just paid the premiums. It's in my name. And this letter was dated from December, and the guy said, oh, yeah, we had mailed that to three different addresses. We didn't know where you were at because that chick didn't know where I was at. But when they ran my security number, they found out what it was. Found out where I was.
Wow. It's quite the scheme. Yeah. So you just made 70 grand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Listen to this story. I got another story. This has been a crazy week, man. So I told you I got kicked out of FanDuel out here.
No, I don't think you did, actually.
Oh, yeah. They won't let me bet there no more.
So you're winning so much? Because you're a jerk. Oh, okay.
No, because I won. And so they sent me a thing in the mail the other day, because I've been kicked out for about 2 or 3 weeks. The general manager sends me an email. Tells me, hey, Ed, you know, we decided, you know, upon further review, we're going to let you come back, and we're going to give you a $500 free bet just to come back.
Wow.
So I was like, man, fuck, I ain't going down there for no fucking $500. So, hello?
Yeah, We're still here.
My phone vibrationized. I don't know what it was. But so they said I got a free $500 bet. So I didn't answer the guy for like 2 days. So then I get an email. Ed, we've bumped your offer to $1,000 of free play. And I still didn't do nothing. So finally, Tuesday, they sent me an email saying I got $2,500 free bet. But you got to bet a parlay. And so I was like, fuck it, I'm going to bet this parlay, but I'm going to try to really get him, you know, and get him good. So I wanted to make some money on it. So I went down there because that's like a 40-minute drive from my house. So I go down there and talk to the guy who runs it. He's like, yeah. He goes, we got your $2,500 bet right here. He goes, but you got to do a parlay, three teams. And I was like, all right. So I took the Dodgers on the run line. They had to win by 2 runs. They won 11-2. I took the White Sox. No, I mean, I'm sorry. I took the Twins to beat the White Sox by 1.5, and they won 6-3. So those games are played. There was one game left on my ticket. So I wasn't watching no games because this ticket was supposed to pay me $29,000.
All right.
So the game that I bet, after the end of 8 innings, I got the Braves, and they're up 3-1. They got to win by 2 runs. So we go to the top of the ninth. The Marlins kind of make a little rally, but there's 2 outs, and the Marlins have the bases loaded. So I'm like, man, all they got to do is get this last out. I got $29,000 coming. So the motherfucking dude from the Marlins hits the ball over to Matt Olson, the first baseman. Mm-hmm. This motherfucker kicks the ball.
Oh, no. Phil Buckner.
Yeah. Fucking 2-run score, ties it up at 3. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. So now we got to win 2 runs. We got to hit like a 2-run dinger or something, man. I had a Brave score 1 run in the 10th and win 4-3. I didn't win my bet.
Oh, man. That's sad.
Yeah.
So you only have 70 grand this week instead of 99.
Yeah. Well, I made about $1,100 selling my cards and envelopes.
Oh, you did you?
Yeah.
A lot of bowling games in there?
No, actually, the bowling didn't sell, either did the hockey. But everything else did.
It's crazy how that works.
Who would have thought?
They're not very popular sports. But baseball is still popular. And I was thinking, you know the hockey game you made up?
Yeah, I do remember the hockey game.
I think you should make a baseball game on the same basis of that. And we'll make a chicken.
I thought you already had a baseball game. Why do you need me to make a baseball game?
I mean, it's a quick game. The game you make is the quick game.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the people who ordered it have like...
Yeah, I mean, no one orders it. No one actually buys it, but they love it.
Man, yeah. I should have made $1,700 worth of sales for that game.
Well, I'd like to see a part of that. I made another season for you this week, Thea. I made another season for you this week, you said, and I turned it around quick, too. Boom, same night. Bang, another season in your pocket.
Yeah, I know. A couple people thought about ordering it.
Oh, that's good.
But they haven't got back to me yet. Hoping.
Well, I'm here eating handfuls of dirt. Yeah. It's been... All right. So, what else has been going on, the Ed? NHL playoffs.
This has been an action-packed hour of things that happened to me.
I know. You've probably been betting a lot on the NHL playoffs, right? You love hockey.
No.
Son of
a... I really don't like hockey.
The Predators are in it. The Predators are in there.
And are the Golden Knights in?
Yeah, they're up 2-0.
Who are they playing?
Dallas. Dallas is they're the best team in the West. And Vegas was the 8th ranked team, and they're up
2-0. Damn. And then they're going home then, because those ghost games must have been in Dallas.
That is correct.
Yep. Oh, yeah, they went in this series. Yep. I mean, so, the Golden Knights, what are they going for? Their fourth Stanley Cup already?
Second Stanley Cup. Yeah, second Stanley Cup.
I would say by the year 4,000,
okay,
that they will have 212 Stanley Cups.
By the year 4,000.
Wow, that's pretty good.
It's a lot of Stanley Cups. Yeah. So, what about
the Bears still won't have won another Super Bowl.
They still won't have a quarterback for 4,000 yards. Yeah.
They got, hey, back in the year 4,000, Caleb Williams the 12th will be a quarterback. And be like, great, super great, super duper great grandfather was on the Bears in 2024.
What about the NBA playoffs? You had anything happening over there?
I watched the Pacers one today.
Okay, yeah, I don't know anything about it.
Oh, yesterday I watched the NFL draft with some of my football guys. So we had a party at the
game. Every time you say football guys, I think of all those McFarland guys you used to get. Remember, yeah, you used to have your football guys? So I pictured you sitting around the TV with all your little toys around you.
We sprinkled in some baseball guys now.
Yeah. All right. Who are the baseball guys?
Junior Spivey that played for the Diamondbacks.
I remember Junior Spivey.
Yeah.
I do remember.
And Luis Gonzalez used to play for the Diamondbacks and the Cubs.
He was very good, right? Luis Gonzalez? Yeah.
He owns a Five Guys out here.
Oh.
Yeah, and then Luis Zendejas used to be a kicker for the Cardinals. He owns the Whataburgers.
They're a bunch of the Zendejas brothers, right?
I thought they owned the Zendejas Steakhouse, but they said no.
That seems odd that they don't. Yeah. But, all right. So you're watching the draft with a bunch of your football and baseball guys.
Yeah. And people was coming over getting autographs and stuff, and shoot, I was signing a different name every time.
The Ed and I were going to do a football podcast. Remember, we had the idea to do a football podcast about old football games, the Ed, or old seasons.
Yeah, what happened to that?
I'm lazy.
That would have been a good one.
Because the Ed was going to be like, we were going to do it like the tapes were just found. You know, like found footage from the 70s or 80s or whatever. And I would be the host, some guy. And the Ed would be Flip Carmichael, a former running back. Mm-hmm. And he would just, it was going to be pretty great.
But, I was going to make predictions and never be wrong.
And like, I wanted to do the season from like 1984. And then like every episode, the Ed would be making like Ghostbusters references and stuff. It'd be great.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That'd be amazing.
Axel Foley. I'd be like Axel Foley references.
So, yeah, we never did it. I'm very busy, you know, I'm just very busy. But
I remember one time I had got offered a movie role.
Okay.
And it was kind of loosely based off of Beverly Hills Cop.
Okay. All right.
But I mean, it really wasn't though. But people might say that. But it was Beverly Hills Policeman.
Beverly Hills Policeman. Did it co-star Eddie Murphy's brother Teddy Murphy? Was he in it?
No, he was not in there. It was Freddie. Freddie.
All right. Yeah. And Rick Nolte.
No, he was in 44 Hours.
Oh, that's right. I can see him. He's there. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know.
That's pretty good.
But that was a good movie though.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Have you been watching any movies lately, The Ed?
Oh, I watched The Book of Clarence. Have you watched that?
Oh, is this about like the Jesus, like in the apostles, but they're black? Is that what we're talking about here?
Yeah. Pretty good. Remember I told you about the movie called The Harder They Fall?
I watched the movie called The Harder They Fall from 1956 starring Humphrey Bogart.
You gotta watch the cowboy one, man, with Jonathan Majors.
But the Bogart one's about boxing, the end.
Oh, is it? I know.
Max Bear's in it. And Jersey Joe Walcott.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Hmm. I always see that when I'm clicking on the other Harder to Fall.
I always see the other Harder to Fall when I'm clicking on this one. So
we need to make a movie called Trading Places. And you watch that movie and I'll watch your movie.
Freaky Friday too. All right, yeah. So did you like this Harder They Fall, the newer one? Isn't Idris Elba in that as well?
Yeah, and this movie, The Book of Clarence, is made by the same people, and it has the same, you could tell by the way the movie's made, is made kind of the same way.
Oh, okay.
With the film. Because I can always tell by the film, like the actual way it looks on the screen of who made the movie.
Yeah, when you watch your movie Cigar, could you tell your friend made it?
Yeah.
As I remember, Ed hadn't actually watched the movie. He just made us watch.
That's right.
You didn't watch Cigar?
Yeah, we watched Cigar.
We watched it.
Yeah.
Did you watch Cigar?
No. It's on my bucket list.
Yeah.
But that bucket's got a lot of shit in it.
It's bigger than Billy Joel's chicken bucket.
Oh, man. I mean, a Cigar 2 is probably going to be better.
I want to get my hopes up.
I told Yaya that you guys reviewed the movie.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Johnny Yaya.
Yeah. He wants to meet you guys.
Oh, we're looking to start a poker game.
He also got in a TV show. You ever heard that show called BMF?
I have not. Never heard of
it. I think I did see that. That
yeah, the Black Mafia. He's in that show.
Oh, all
right. Yeah, it's on Showtime or Stars, one of them.
Huh. Well, that's something.
Did you see they're making a Donald Sterling Clippers movie on FX?
I did not see that.
Yeah, I saw the previews for that last night. I'm like, oh shit, I gotta watch that one. Because guess who plays Donald Sterling?
I don't know.
Ted Bundy. Not Ted Bundy, Al Bundy.
Ed O'Neill. Ed O'Neill, right?
Yeah, Ted O'Neill. Yeah, Ted O'Neill. Yeah, Ted O'Neill plays him.
Ed O'Neill.
Al Bundy, Ted McKinley.
Who plays like that hooker that was recording all his racist conversations?
They got a black chick doing that, and I thought this chick wasn't black.
Yeah, I thought she was white. I mean,
no, I thought she was Filipino.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, but the important thing is that probably she wasn't black because he was a racist. That seems
well, like he was. Well, I don't know because in the thing he goes, why he says he's not.
Oh. All right. I guess that settles that.
Yep. Yeah. You've been barking up the wrong tree, Mike. Duh.
I don't know what else. Yep. Oh, go ahead.
Do you ever watch these court shows like Divorce Court and
No, I know you're a big fan of them. You used to go to Halloween as Judge Joe Brown all the time.
You know? Oh yeah, he's the best. Yeah, he's the best man. But they
you
got
love
this
Judge
one,
Judy so, too. You're a big Judge Judy guy. Yeah.
They
yeah,
got
have
this
you seen
one
her called, lately?
Nah,
I have
she
not.
Looks crazy.
Like somebody grabbed her by the ears and just pulled.
What? I don't know what that means.
She got a facelift.
Had a lot of work done.
She makes $5 million a week.
That can't be true. That cannot be true.
I'm telling you.
I honestly, I know she is very highly paid. I remember that being a story.
$5 million a week?
Yeah. It's kind of crazy to believe that somebody could be paid $5 million a week, especially Judge Judy. I know all these other judges. Like,
Judge Judy's star has a net worth of $480 million.
Yeah. I'm eating handfuls of dirt over here. All right, so, but you're still watching these court shows, then?
Yeah, they got the one show. is called The Cutlers. You ever seen that one?
Never heard of it.
Well, it's a wife and husband, and they're both judges, and they always have things about relationships in their courtroom. And, you know, sometimes they're kind of hard on these guys. I don't like it. But the wife, the judge, now, he looked like he could probably get some women. Boy, his wife is a fucking heavy hitter. Christ, man. I mean, I don't know why. He said he'd been with her since he was 18. And they're in their 50s now. I'm like, damn, man. I mean, see.
Yeah, I'm looking at him now, yeah. Cutler's
Court,
like, is what it's called.
Like, he looks like a normal dude, but she don't. She don't look like no normal lady.
Well, he looks like a fat guy.
That's just that robe. Robe put 10 pounds.
He's not wearing the robe on his face.
I would love to be a judge. I mean, give me a judge show.
Judge Ed Miller, M.D. That was your show.
That's a good one right there. Because then, I not only would I judge him, I could cure him.
And bill him twice.
Yeah. They'd be like, Judge Ed Miller, M.D. He may judge you, but he'll cure you.
And he'll cure you.
Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. I'd have that music playing, too.
Sounds like Perry Mason music.
Fifth of crime.
I'd be like, these are the stories of Judge Ed Miller, M.D. Woo, 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 woo.
Yeah.
I thought of a new TV show.
Okay.
Called Ambulance Chasers.
It probably already exists.
Really?
I don't know. Let me check. Well, yeah. What would your show be about, Ed?
Well, you are a injury lawyer in this game.
The show does exist yet. It's Ambulance Chasers is a half-hour multi-camera comedy about what happens to the bottom 50% of the law school graduating class. So it's not a reality show. I guess it's a scripted TV show.
Man, I can't use that name. That fucking Ricky Gervais probably stole that fucking name.
Fucking Ricky Gervais.
I hate that guy. And then the Dave told Norm MacDonald my Tiger Woods stuff. I even went back and watched that the other day, and sure enough, man, he used the same shit I said.
So what else? Did you have anything else to talk about?
Well, I've kind of been sick for the last 7 days.
Oh, just 7 days? Because you've had a cough for as long as I've known you.
No, I've had diarrhea. I mean, I'm pooped right now. But
I've had diarrhea
every 30 minutes for 7 days.
You stay hydrated, Ed. Yeah.
Yeah, I've lost a lot of weight. So you guys are going to watch Gremlins tonight.
Gremlins 2, the new batch.
The new batch. Yeah.
Jank told me this movie was great. He was misinformed.
I told you what movie to watch.
See, now I knew Mike Dell was going to hate this wonderful masterpiece of cinema.
This fucking movie stinks.
Hulk Hogan's second best movie after Rocky III.
What's that, the end?
Hulk Hogan in there?
Yeah, he's in a movie theater scene.
Christ.
He's watching a movie, and the gremlins break the film, so he threatens the gremlins.
And the Grimsters could stand up to the Hulkster?
No.
And then he said a bunch of weird things about black people, and then he sat down.
What?
So anyway.
What kind of weird stuff is that?
Hey, you've never heard Hulk Hogan's videos about how he feels about black people?
Well, yeah, Google, very similar to Donald Sterling.
Yes, Google it up sometime. He was making sweet, sweet love to Bubba the Love Sponge's wife. And Hulk Hogan, this is a huge story, the end. Like, years ago.
Yeah, this brought down a whole media empire.
Yeah, like, what was the name of that site it brought down there?
It was
like the whole Deadspin group of people, right? Wasn't that like the whole thing?
Yeah, but that wasn't the main one.
Yeah. Gawker? Is it Gawker Media?
Yeah, Gawker Media.
Yeah. So, but basically, yeah, he was saying some racist stuff in these videos, and the videos got leaked. And yeah.
So, Hulk Hogan's not friends with Bubba the Love Sponge no more?
I would guess not.
That's crazy. Did you watch the new Dark Side of the Ring?
I have no. I've never watched any of them, but what's the new one you've seen?
Sensational Sherry.
I love Sensational Sherry. She's great.
Yeah, she was pretty wild. She had a retarded kid.
Uh-huh.
And she abandoned her kid and husband to pursue wrestling.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She was a pretty crazy lady.
She was awesome. Yeah. Remember when she was managing Macho Man, Scary Sherry?
Right. Yeah. And she was the original manager of Harlem Heat.
Yes, that's right.
Yep. The reason why they put her as the manager is because they wanted Harlem Heat to look credible.
And she was a good wrestler too before she was a valet, yeah. You know?
Yeah, she fought Medusa, she parked cars as a valet, and she did a lot of stuff.
Hey, yeah, have we talked to you? Did you watch WrestleMania?
No, I knew it was on, but man, it's 2 days. It's stupid now. And the matches are so good. No, the match
is great. It's great.
Yeah, this was the greatest WrestleMania ever.
Why?
Because Cody Rhodes finished the story. You know?
Yeah, Cody Rhodes is a piece of shit.
Cody Rhodes is, tonight on SmackDown, Toppy, he's going to wrestle Carmelo Hayes. He got drafted to SmackDown.
Yeah.
Who the fuck is Carmelo Hayes?
Hey, you'd like Carmelo Hayes. He's a cool kid. He don't miss Carmelo Hayes. It's his gimmick.
That's ridiculous.
You don't miss.
What? He wants to be like Mr. Perfect.
Yeah. But he's a good kid. You'd like him.
None of these new guys, man.
Well, they had reading the draft picks because tonight's the draft. Night one of their draft where they split up the talent. And to read some of the picks, they had Michelle McCool and Tori Wilson was back reading the picks. Remember that one?
Michelle McCool, I remember her.
She's the Undertaker's wife in real life there. And then, Tori Wilson's so good looking. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I was going to say, man, did you watch UFC 300?
I mean, I didn't watch it, but I, you know, followed it closely.
How do you follow it closely if you don't watch it?
I Twitterize it and Redderize it.
I always hate that when, like the mayor or the president comes on, we're monitoring this closely.
Well, that's what I was doing with UFC 300.
Wait for somebody to call you and tell you what's going on. How you monitoring?
I wait for someone. Well, I follow like the live feeds on Reddit and Twitter, and then someone always posts the GIFs of the knockouts and stuff, so you see them right away. And yeah, yeah, that knockout of Max Holloway and Justin Gaethje, that was amazing. Holy hell!
Yeah, I watched that. Rebel, shut the fuck up.
But did you like UFC 300 at the end?
Yeah, I lost. I mean, I won my bets, but I lost the main event. I thought Jamal Hill was going to win.
Oh. No way. That was a terrible bet on your part.
Why, you like that Pereira guy?
Pereira's the man.
He ain't shit.
What about Devin Haney and...
I had Ryan Garcia plus 500.
Nice.
But I only bet it an hour before the fight because I wasn't going to bet it. But then I was watching the DAZN pregame for the fight, and it kept talking about Ryan Garcia has this left hook power. And I was like, what? I ain't never seen that. But then they just showed so many times he was knocking people out with it. And then they showed Devin Haney susceptible to it. And I was like, well,
so maybe smacked the hell out of him with the left hook all night.
And he did. And I was like, oh, man. That was a good fight. Yeah. But I had seen Devin Haney's dad the week before over at Top Rank. His dad named Bill. And my buddy Bob was Devin's cut man. I know he didn't expect to work that hard that night. And Bill Haney had told us at the gym that to anyone who'd listen, he'd be like, my son gonna kill Ryan Garcia. He might not make it through the fight. Well, it's almost his son got killed.
Yeah.
That dude was on Quitter Street about 42 times.
Yeah. How many times did he knock him down? At least three, right?
Yeah, but he should have been like seven. The referee kept messing up and not calling him knockdowns. Yeah. Rebel, put that goddamn toy down.
I was going to say, is he choking to death? What is happening?
No, he got one of these little, it's a little fox.
Ah, a little squeaky toy.
And then Rebel, I had to have a talk with him the other day because he's always humping on my leg and then humping on a doctor's leg. I said, listen, man, I'm the only motherfucker in this house that humps anything.
If there's any leg humping going on, the edge of the one is doing it.
Exactly. That's me. Yeah, I'm going to smoke me a cigar.
All right, Dad. Well, we'll let you go enjoy your cigar and have fun with Rebel. And thanks for calling the show. I'm sure you'll keep us posted the next time the doctor's out of the house and you can do the show again. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. All right, Dad.
All right.
Thank you, buddy.
All right. All right, don't let him talk bad about you.
There he goes. The Ed. How about that?
He's going to town on that thing.
All right, there goes the Ed. He left pretty quickly that time. Usually, you know, you got to start the ball rolling. And then he leaves the show about 30 minutes later. But, man, he just show. So thanks to the Ed.
Urge for Cigars hits you.
Yeah. So, all right. Anything to talk about before we get into this movie? Tuffy, how's your week been, Tuffy? Are you doing all right over there?
Yeah. I'm old. Okay. Went rollerblading a couple days.
Hey, I shot hockey four times this week, including today. And I'm very sore. Very sore. I think spring is finally here. So.
Yeah. It rained a lot today, so it must be spring.
Yeah, last week it was nothing but rain every day, but this week, pretty good. So hopefully be back at it next week. But, Jank, anything to report on your end?
No.
All right. Triangle of Sadness is really bringing it this week.
So yep, that's me, I was here.
I did get interesting piece of information this week that happened to me. I got an email from my university there, the Seton Hill University. They're having an art show for alumni, you know.
Ooh.
And they said, you can submit up to 3 art pieces and we'll consider them, you know, for this art show. And I was like, well, I'm not going to do that because, you know, I hate people. But then they extended the deadline. And they sent me another email. And that usually means that no one is submitting art pieces. So I'm like, all right, well, I guess I might as well submit art pieces.
Yeah.
So I submitted some art pieces. And they selected, they want to show, you guys know I used to paint, right? You're aware of that, right? Like I used to paint.
You've talked about doing art for comic books. I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, I used to do a lot of paintings and stuff back in the day. And I haven't painted 10 years or so. I used to do like these like pop art kind of things and a lot of TV show and music themes.
Really?
Yeah. So they selected 2 pieces for the art show. One, a painting of Get Smart that I did, and then a painting of Kurt Cobain. So look at that.
Oh shit!
Nice. Yeah, so I got to, yeah, they're just like color and shape, you know, not detail or anything, but like pop arty. So, and they're big. The canvases are really big, like 30 by 40. So that's rare, I guess. So, yeah, I got selected. So there's going to be an art showing of, I think, when is it? The end of May. I have to deliver the paintings May 12th. And, so that'd be something. And they're having a big gala event where I can show up. Because, you know, there's one thing I enjoy is attending gala events.
Finally, you can wear that ball gown you've been saving.
You're painting 30 by 40 inch canvases?
Yeah, back in the day. Yeah.
When's the last time you painted a picture?
Like I said, probably since my dad died. I haven't really painted since then, I don't think. So about 8 years, 9 years. But but even then, I wasn't painting like these size canvases. I would just, but like in the year, these paintings, these two paintings that are going in were like 20 years old, I would say.
Dang.
They used to hang up in my apartment, you know, when I was married and stuff. And but for the last 12 years, they've just been zipped up in a bag in the basement. So it's nice to get them out of the bag.
So what happens to them afterwards? Like, are they trying to sell these? Or
yeah, they actually can. They said that... they'll sell them and they don't take a commission or anything. So they said they'll just facilitate the deal if somebody wants to buy them. And they're like, well, how much do you want to sell the paint? And I'd have no interest in really selling them, but, if someone wants to give me a few $100 for it, sure. Let's go. Let's
make that happen. Yeah. But,
so yeah. So that's something. Cause my life is nothing but rejections. So
yeah.
I've been on quite the run of rejections for the last year. So it's nice. It's a nice change of pace to have someone say, sure.
Aw.
Steve, that.
I mean, to see if they were interested in some monkey-based literature.
I have not. But you never know what this will lead to.
So, that is fine art right there.
We'll see. Yeah, I'm up to 16, I think, rejections for the monkey book. And I've contacted like 45 agencies, so I'm still waiting on a bunch. But yeah, it's a very long, arduous process that is not enjoyable.
Yeah. Like applying for college, you got like a 1.8.
But this monkey book is a 4.0. Don't you worry about that.
I mean, it's like if a monkey applied for colleges, you're going to get that monkey's going to get a lot of rejection. Somebody's going to say,
yeah.
What happens if we put a monkey in the classroom?
I mean, let's face facts. Selling a book about a talking monkey and involves professional wrestling, it's going to be tough. All right? There's not going to be...
Very niche market. You wrote it just for you, basically.
Even if you get past the talking monkey part, they got it like professional wrestling too. So it's going to be very tough.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be a winner if anyone decides to publish it. So
for a certain market, yeah, it's going to go like hotcakes.
I found in life that the people that like my stuff really, really like my stuff. And the people that don't like it can go to hell. What do I care about them? So we'll see how it goes. But anyway, I'll have an art showing and a gala event to go to in June. I think the actual event is. So that'll be something. All right. I guess that's all the big news for this week. So let's talk Gremlins 2.
Yeah.
Mm.
Gremlins 2. All right. So I saw the first Gremlins in the theaters when I was a kid. It came out in 1984, and it was a smashing success, the first one. Because it was nothing like this movie at all. It's a big hit.
What makes this movie so genius?
But 1984 was the banner year for movies. Ghostbusters, Indiana Jones, Temple of Doom, and Gremlins, and Beverly Hills Cop that we mentioned before.
Yeah.
My Beverly Hills police officer. And I think Beverly Hills Cop was number one overall in terms of box office. And then what was second there? Ghostbusters was second, which is weird. Yeah, I think.
Ghostbusters. That should be number for sure.
And then Indiana Jones, and then Gremlins was fourth. So, and it made a ton of money. So they're like, hey, let's make a sequel to this because how popular it was. So the writer director
figured it out for years.
But he didn't want to do it.
They tried multiple ways without him and it wasn't working out.
Yeah, from what I read,
carte blanche to do whatever he wants with it if he'd come back. He's like, all right, I'm going to do it different.
From what I read, a couple of the failed attempts at scripts involved one of the Gremlins in Las Vegas. That'd be pretty good. And then one with the Gremlins on Mars. That seems terrible. Why would that even, how would they even monkey with anything on Mars?
All of these horror things where they go to space never work. But yeah, the Gremlins especially, like, what are they going to monkey with, like, the two people on a space shuttle? Yeah. That's not very fun.
So Dante said, yeah, so they came back to him. He says, all right, I'll do it. But like you said, he wanted to do something completely different. And he wanted to try and make a satire of movie sequels.
Yeah.
And I guess that's what he attempted to do here.
I think he succeeded quite well.
I didn't think so at all. And he brought back the same people. At least the Phoebe Cates was back.
Yeah, Judge Reinhold did not make the cut this time.
Yeah. But that the guy, Zach Galligan, or whatever the fuck his name is, he was back.
Yeah. You got to have Galligan. You got no movie if you don't got Galligan.
Well, in the original Gremlins, Steven Spielberg really pulled for Galligan to be cast as the guy.
Huh.
Because I have no idea. But I think he said that he watched a video test of Galligan and Phoebe Cates together. And Spielberg thought they had chemistry. And he says, look at him. He's already in love with her. Yeah, because he's talking to Phoebe Cates.
Yeah.
Anyone's going to look like they're in love with Phoebe Cates, you know? A couple of the other people who were up for that part, though, at the time was Judd Nelson. And there's someone else, too. I can't remember. But, anybody.
Got too much edge.
Anybody would have been better than Zach Galligan, though. So.
He's not bad for what he's supposed to be. He's supposed to be like an everyman type guy. It works.
He's terrible. He's terrible. He's so lightweight and forgettable. You look at him, you look right through him. There's nothing there. Nothing there. But Phoebe Cates is here, and she's got a cute little haircut. And, Howie Mandel is the voice of Gizmo.
Yeah. Back again.
So that's something. Oh, I guess we should remind the people what this movie's about. It came out in 1990, so it took 6 years to put out the sequel. That's always a bad sign when it takes 6 years to put out a sequel.
And well, again, they tried a bunch of things, didn't work out.
They should have kept trying. The Gremlins are back, and this time they've taken control of New York City media mogul's high-tech skyscraper. Yeah, this media mogul is basically Donald Trump. They're doing a little...
Kind of combined with Ted Turner
there too.
What's his name in this? Clamp, right?
Clamp, Daniel Clamp.
Sounds like a venereal disease. Got a case of that Daniel Clamp.
On the Red Letter Media like commentary track for the first Gremlins, they were talking about like basically the similarities between him and Trump, how clearly it's a Trump parody. And they were pitching like a Gremlins 3 where basically Daniel Clamp is the president and, you know, the Gremlins have taken over the entire country and it's like World War 3 against the Gremlins. I'm like, that would actually be really good.
Better than this. Also, Dick Miller is in this. You love Dick Miller.
Yeah, our boy Dick Miller. Yeah. In the role that really I always think of him as. Even though he's been in many things, including a lot of things we've seen on this show here. But
yeah, he plays Murray Futterman. Yeah. What was his deal in the first Gremlins? Like, he was his neighbor, or what was he?
Yeah, he's like the crotchety neighbor who was always like, oh, the Japanese are putting Gremlins in our, like, lawnmowers and stuff like that to mess them up. And eventually he just kind of gets, like, a bunch of Gremlins take, like, a snowplow and drive it into his house. And him and his wife are seemingly killed. But it turns out in this one, they were not. It just horribly messed him up mentally.
Let me check something. I think the Ed is back. The Ed, are you back?
Yeah.
Okay. I saw you popped up on the screen there. And you had your camera on, which is always alarming. Did you mean to come back on the show?
I didn't have no pants on. yeah, I said something popped up and said, join the call.
Well, no, I didn't do that. I guess that was just from the first time. Like, we didn't invite you back. I thought you wanted to come.
Said I was invited.
I think that was from the first time. So we're talking about Gremlins 2.
Oh, yeah. The two Corys.
That's right. Freddie and Jimmy. Of course. So,
all right, we're watching.
All right, yeah, sorry for the confusion there. Yeah, we didn't want you to come. We weren't calling you again, so it's okay.
Yeah, I said it. Said sorry. Ongoing call, please join us.
Yeah, because we're still doing the call. You just aren't, you know, so you can just...
And I got to finish up doing this hose.
Good luck fixing your hose. All right. Thank you, buddy.
All right.
There he goes.
Don't let him talk back.
There goes the end. Yeah, where were Mr. Futterman, the name of the crime, Dick Miller? What did we watch with Dick Miller recently, Jank, on here? Like, wasn't Dick Miller in something?
Ooh, I definitely remember him being in Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers as the guy who was too busy to bang his wife, you know. Who's that hot girl that we like? Michelle Bauer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was in something. Oh, I think it was, it was something where he played like a janitor, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, the janitor in this movie is John Astin, Gomez Adams.
Yeah, sure was. I think of him as Dr. Professor Gangrene from the old Killer Tomatoes movies. Or the Riddler. The less good Riddler.
There's a lady named Haviland Morris plays Marla Bloodstone, not to be confused with Elsa Bloodstone. Oh, I think Ed's back again. Ed, are you back?
Yeah, it popped up again.
You don't need to click it when it pops up. It's always going to keep popping up. Just ignore it.
Oh. Yeah, no, I was trying to do my stuff, and it said you called again. I was like, Jesus Christ,
We only called you one time. We have not called you again. So when it pops up...
Man, my phone must be going crazy, because it's showing that you called. It said join the call.
But just ignore it yet, okay?
All right.
Well, thank you, buddy.
All right.
That's the end. All right, man, you know this Haviland Morris? I don't know who she is. Any ideas?
I know I've seen her in other things. I couldn't really say what, or maybe it's just because I've seen this movie so many times when I was a kid, but I think I've seen her in other things. But yeah, she's very got a very thick New York accent.
I like her. Her picture on IMDb is real good, too. Christopher Lee.
The Haviland Morris was in 16 Candles, apparently.
Oh, all right. Huh?
Oh,
Caroline
she's
Mulford.
A sister?
Yeah. Oh, maybe. I don't know.
When it was getting married, it was like on her period, so she took a bunch of like muscle relaxers.
Was there another guy? I'm checking the cast here. Shoot. I clicked on something. Anyway.
She was Caroline. Oh, okay.
Well, who was Caroline in 16 Candles?
I think that was the girl who Farmer Ted, you know, Anthony Michael Hall hooks up with because they got real drunk that one night.
All right. I'm having technical issues here as I try to work IMDb.
Yeah. This is where James needs to layer to talk about these 80s movies a little bit more.
Yeah. You mentioned Christopher Lee, of course, from all the Hammer horror movies. And
Dracula and whatnot. Yeah.
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings, yep.
Oh, and he was also, I read a trivia note on this, because Joe Dante also directed The Howling, right? And he said when Christopher Lee, the first day on set, he walked up to Joe Dante and he apologized for appearing in Howling 2. There's a werewolf. Or is it my sister? I can't remember.
But, he should not have apologized when he saw Sybil Danning.
Yeah, there's another guy from 16 Candles in this movie. That's what I was trying to confirm.
Yeah. And,
Long Duck Dong.
That's right. No more Yankee My Wanky.
And he was also in Gung Ho, which is a movie I love. And he was in UHF.
Yep. Yeah.
And he was in Newhart as well. He played Mr. Tagadachi on Newhart. That's the season finale of Newhart.
Yeah, he had quite the run there in the 80s.
Yeah, Get A Watanabe is his name.
Yeah.
So Robert Picardo is in this. He's in one of them Star Trek deals, right?
Yeah, he was a doctor on Star Trek Voyager, like the holographic doctor. He was also the Johnny Cab in Total Recall.
Robert Prosky is here, and he plays Grandpa Fred, was just the Al Lewis Grandpa Bunster ripoff.
Yeah.
Yep. And what do we know Robert Prosky from? He's very familiar and famous looking.
Yeah. Again, he's another one of those people that I'm sure I've seen in things, but I couldn't tell you what.
Yeah, just a character actor who's in everything. Tony Randall plays the voice of Brain Gremlin.
Yeah, he's great. I love that.
Brain Gremlin is great. I'll talk about him later, because I think that's the biggest flaw in this film, is that they didn't do more with Brain Gremlin. He was awesome.
Yeah, they could have had him appear earlier, for sure.
Yes, and actually have a plot. That would have been great, too.
No, you got to sing.
K. Luke plays Mr. Wing, and he was in the first one as well, the guy who owns the Mogwais and everything.
Yeah.
And, his nephew not around anymore. Must have killed him off.
Yeah, his nephew's a jerk. Dang, sold the Mogwai behind his back.
Yeah.
All right, so, yeah, I saw the first Gremlins in theaters.
Julia Sweeney was in here. In that one scene. Yeah. She was the secretary for, the DNA lab.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, two Breaking Bad cast members in this movie as well.
No wonder it fucking sucked.
Do you recognize the delivery boy, Tuffy?
I did not.
Like whistling the song?
No. I don't hear you talking about in Gremlins. I don't know who you're talking about in Breaking Bad.
Yeah, that was Tuco. You could tell from the voice right away. I was like, oh, shit, that's Tuco. And then Keith Norris plays the leader of the SWAT team, so we got some Hank in here.
Oh.
Which also, Mike Dell, the original Gremlins, had Jonathan Banks, who plays Mike, and he plays a cop in that movie. So I like to think of Gremlins as an actual prequel to...
Yeah, for those who never saw the first Gremlins, it was kind of like a dark comedy, and it was like... At the time, it was very controversial because it seemed like a kid's movie, but it was very violent. And between that and Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, this is what brought in PG-13 ratings.
Yeah, that's right.
It was a big deal when I was a kid. Everyone talking, oh, it's too violent. But yeah, so it is a completely different film than this sequel. It's the tone of it.
Imagine the sequel is much
better. Well, it is and it isn't.
No, it's way different. The tone is way different.
The tone is definitely different, but it's not like this one's not violent. There's a gremlin that gets shredded in a shredder.
Yeah, but it's this is cartoony bullshit. This is it isn't
This is a live action Looney Tunes cartoon in a way.
Yes, and that's why it's
awesome. Why they have the oh no, that's great. It works.
That's you. So all right. This film was of course a complete failure at the box office. So, cost a lot of money.
Found its audience later on.
Yes, no one had to pay for it. Found the audience. So, all right. Those are the key players here in this film. Anything else we need to know going in? I guess, Jack, why don't you explain the whole Mogwai Gremlin situation for those unfamiliar?
Oh, sure. The Mogwai is a race of creatures, you could say, even though most of the time there's only one.
Something else I read. They had a cartoon recently that just came out in 2022.
Yeah, I heard about that, but I never watched it.
And I guess, I think it's had some, it's like Gremlins, the History of the Mogwai or something it's called. And I think it was all Max. So if you got the Max, you could watch it. And I think in that cartoon, they said the backstory is that these Mogwai were created by a scientist on an alien planet.
Oh.
And somehow they made their way to Earth. But yeah, we usually just see the one Mogwai, little Gizmo.
Yeah. He's pretty much the only good one, apparently, because every time he has babies, they're all terrible.
Well, he doesn't have babies necessarily. He's not getting
Well, he does. He's not getting it done.
Yeah, he's
he's making babies.
He's like sprouting spores.
Yeah. Because, there's three rules to owning a gremlin or a Mogwai, you should say. Yeah. You have to avoid getting them wet. because if you do, then they'll multiply. They'll shoot little balls out of their back and new Mogwai will be born. They hate bright lights. Bright lights will like send them running away or kill them if it's bright enough.
Yeah, sunlight will kill them.
Yeah.
Although in theory, sunlight kills them, but not in this movie because Gizmo's just walking the streets of New York and went sane and it did not kill him.
Wow. It was cloudy. Yeah, and then the other rule is you cannot feed them after midnight, which has always been the most unclear rule, because when does that end? Like,
when the sun comes up. When the sun comes up. Yeah, so that's when that ends. So, but yeah, what happens if you feed them after midnight, though, Jack?
Yeah, then they turn all green and scaly and just have, like, claws, and they're even worse. As bad as they were before, they've somehow gotten even worse now.
Yeah, Gizmo, the little Mogwai, he's a little white and brown furry little guy with big ears. Big pink ears.
Yeah.
And, yeah, when they eat after midnight, they turn into gremlins. These reptilian lizard-like gremlins.
Yeah, they go into cocoons for a little bit, and then they hatch as these just gross monsters.
Like all the other little Mogwai, like Gizmo's he's a saint, this Gizmo.
Yeah.
He's salt of the earth, this Gizmo. But all the other little Mogwais that sprout off, and they're a bunch of jerks. But then when they become gremlins, though, they become murderous jerks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I mean, to be fair, the one gremlin was trying to bite that guy's nose off even before he turned into, you know, a gremlin, so.
And then there was another gremlin who wanted to make sweet, sweet love to a fella.
So, yeah. And she did.
Tuffy, did you ever see the original Gremlins, Tuffy? No.
All
right. You probably should, because that's actually like a movie.
Yeah, but I feel like after seeing this one, the first, it's like whichever one you see first, that's the baseline.
Yeah.
And if I saw the original one now, I'd just think it's like, this is boring and slow and stupid. Where's all the cartoonies?
This is well plotted and thought out. What the hell? So,
I mean, to be fair, this does follow, it does do what sequels do. And the plot of this movie is essentially the same as the first one. It's just the location and the tone have shifted quite a bit.
Yeah, but there's just way more could have been done to make this interesting, you know? This was just very stupid and a waste of time. All right, so anyway, why don't you tell us how we start, Jack?
I believe we start off with the old Chinese, like, relic shop that the old man from the first one owns. Because he took the Mogwai back at the end of the first one because Billy wasn't responsible enough. So he's like, hey, maybe someday you'll be ready for this Mogwai, but...
Yeah, in the first one, Billy's dad is like an inventor, a goofy inventor guy, and he's traveling through and he finds this old Chinese shop of like little relics and
antiquities and
and
tchotchkes.
And he asks for the Mogwai. He wants to buy this little Mogwai guy, and he's like, no, that's not for sale. But then his nephew comes around behind his back and says, all right, here, you can take the Mogwai, and just don't, you know. Keep them out of sunlight. Don't get them wet. Don't feed them after midnight. Got it? Good? Cool. So he takes them back to Billy, and then all hell breaks loose when he doesn't follow
Billy does not listen to any of those rules.
And then at the end, like you said, the guy takes the Mogwai back, and he says, maybe someday you'll be ready, Billy. You know, but not now. You're not responsible enough to watch this Mogwai. So they left things open for a possible sequel. And then this one starts. So we're back at the same Chinese shop. But now who's there this time, Jack?
Well, Robert Picardo comes in. With the TV, and he's making an offer for his boss, you know, Daniel Clamp there, and he's got it on this TV, so he sets up this whole TV and VCR setup just to give him this pitch about, hey, we're trying to build this, like, what is it, like a Chinese, like a new Chinese market or something that's going to be massive and state-of-the-art, and, like, everyone else is on board except you. You won't sell me your store, so how about you do that? And I'll give you all this money and it'll be great. And the old man's just like, no sale. And he's like, I'm gonna stay in here. I think he wants to give him like, I'll give you like a, you know, like a little stand you can sell your stuff from in our new marketplace. But he's like, no, that's not gonna work. But he's coughing a lot. So Robert Picardo kind of like just tells him to keep the TV, and he leaves, and he's like, did you hear that old man coughing? Like, this guy's on his last legs. We'll get this property in no time. And turns out what happens.
Yeah, I thought that was dumb. Let's do something better than that, you know? Let's come up with something better. You show, we'll just, because then they just pop up on the screen 6 weeks later, and they're like, the Chinese shop is getting destroyed by a crane or whatever. Yeah. So it's like, come on, let's do something better. I don't know. Anytime you're 3 minutes into a movie and you're already jumping ahead 6 weeks, that's a problem. Let's just do something better. But of course, they don't clean out the shop at all. They just start destroying it with Gizmo in there.
Yeah.
And who's been taking care of Gizmo? Who knows? Who knows? But Gizmo climbs out of the box.
Kind of open somehow at that point. I'm not sure how that the old man did that before he died.
Yeah. I don't. Oh, we should mention that after they left the TV there for the old man, Gizmo turns on Rambo First Blood Part 2.
Yeah.
And he's watching Sylvester. That comes into play later.
Sure does.
But he loves Rambo. So, yeah, they start destroying the store, and Gizmo gets out of his little box, and he's just roaming the sunny streets of New York City and has no problems, I guess. And some guys, some twin brothers that work at some research lab in the Clamp Towers building, they find Gizmo on the street. And they're like, oh,
they
that's
the brother in the movie. They're one of them's a clone.
Oh, okay. I missed out on that.
Yeah.
So they take little Gizmo back to the research lab, and Christopher Lee's like the lead of the research lab, and he's like an evil guy because he's Christopher Lee.
Dr. Catheter.
Yeah.
Yeah, this movie is so fucking stupid with all the little names and jokes and
calm down.
I love it.
It is just dumb.
So good. Like the smart building is so good. Like all the things the intercom was saying, like were so good. I love them all.
Like all the little characters, little wink, wink, nudge, nudge with their names, like Alvin and Theodore. You know, they're like little chipmunk references. Yeah. Like, what are we doing? What are we fucking doing?
How many gold is what we're doing, Mike Dell?
But, like even the
I get on board.
Even the researcher guy and his clone, they're named Martin and Lewis. It's like, oh, that's hilarious. Fucking stupid. All right, so what kind of research are they doing here, Tuffy, in this research lab? Do you know?
Any kind.
Yeah.
Any and every.
Yeah. Yeah.
But apparently,
genetic.
They just have a vegetable formula. I don't know what that one was for.
But I think their main thing is they just play Chuck Berry music for the little Gizmo to dance to. That's the big research.
His favorite.
I read a trivia note that they wanted to play Billy Idol's what's that dance song he used to sing about dancing?
Oh, Dancing with Myself?
Yeah, Dancing with Myself. They wanted to get that song, but the rights were too expensive, so they just got something else.
Damn.
But yeah, they're invested. They're doing all kinds of experiments on Gizmo. They found out that he likes to dance, but they're keeping him in a cage, and Gizmo is not happy. He's a sad little Gizmo. Except when he's dancing.
He tries to run away, though. Christopher Lee catches him trying to jump off the table.
And we should also mention Zach Galligan, or whatever the fuck his name is.
Mm-hmm.
Billy, I guess, in the movie. He and Phoebe Cates are engaged to get married, and they both seem to work in the same building. They both work in Clamp Tower. Yeah.
Yeah, he's like an architect, and she is basically a tour guide. Just to wear like a stupid hat and like show people around and give them a tour of the building.
I liked her in the stupid hat.
It
yeah.
It's good luck.
So yeah, that's happening. And Gizmo, what a coincidence that Gizmo is taken to this research lab in the same building that Billy and Phoebe Cates work in. And then Gizmo escapes the research lab and he ends up in Billy's toolbox or whatever.
It's the delivery guy goes up there, and he overhears Gizmo singing his little song. And then Zach Galligan hears that same delivery guy when he comes onto his floor. He hears him, like, whistling that tune, and he's like, hey, where'd you hear that? And the guy tells him, I think first he says, isn't that a police song? He's like, no. He's like, oh, I heard it up on that the genetics lab on 6 or whatever. And Billy goes up there to try to find out what's going on. So he finds Gizmo up there and like takes him out of there, sneaks him out. Yeah.
What are the odds? You know?
You know, New York City, Mike. That anything's happened.
And he just opens up the little toolbox. Gizmo pops up and he goes, hey, Gizmo, what are you doing here? Like, oh, I expected to see you here.
Yeah.
I don't know. Seems weird.
Yeah.
So he's taking care of Gizmo now. And he takes Gizmo down to his office and puts him in a drawer. And then he slams the drawer on Gizmo's hand because he's a jerk.
Hey, people are coming.
He's ashamed of Gizmo. So he slams the door, and it breaks little Gizmo's hand, and he dies. No, he just says he's okay. And but the Donald Trump guy comes down to look around at the in his little architecture designs and stuff. And then Gizmo, in a hilarious scene, Gizmo opens the drawer, and then Billy shuts it, and he goes, oh, that's just one of those automatic drawers that opens every once in a while to see, show you what's inside. And Clamp's like, oh, I didn't know that. That's fascinating. This movie's fucking dumb. I just wanted to punch something at this point in the movie.
This movie's ahead of its time, making fun of these smart buildings that didn't really exist back then, but now, like, do. like, nothing worked. Like, there was, like, a guy stuck in the revolving door. It was, like, spinning super fast.
That was hilarious.
Yeah. It's great.
So, anyway. So Gizmo's stuck in his drawer. And, oh, yeah, the lady that we were talking about before, that Haviland, Marilyn Haviland, whatever the fuck her name is, the redhead, she's, like, Billy's boss. And she wants to make sweet, sweet love to him.
Boy, does she.
Yeah.
Just because basically Clamp liked him, so now she's like, oh, this is my ticket to power.
She's a climber in the corporate ranks.
Yeah. She wants to climb all over Billy. Yeah.
She wants to take him to dinner at the Canadian restaurant they have in the building.
Nothing but bacon and maple syrup. A great
and a chocolate mousse. It's actually just a mousse head that's made of chocolate.
Piece of the antler.
So Billy then doesn't he ask? Oh wait a minute,
Kate's. Yeah, he's like, I gotta go to a dinner meeting. Can you go get Gizmo out of my drawer?
But before that, Gizmo has a run-in with the Gomez Adams, and shit goes awry. Remember?
Yeah.
Like he multiplies, right?
He's what's his name? John Aston is like getting a drink of water, and then he realizes, oh, this thing's misfiring, so he like takes the wrench to it, and it starts shooting water out of the water fountain too far, and it like kind of trickles down and hits Gizmo, like where he's in the drawer.
Gizmo's escaped. Gizmo's aware that he needs to avoid the water, so he goes to hide under the drawing table. And the water lands on the table and then runs down a little pencil trough and drips onto Gizmo.
Yep.
And then it starts spitting all the little spores out of his back. And they turn into other Mogwais. But these Mogwais, they're not like, Gizmo's a handsome little fella. He's adorable.
Yeah.
But these other Mogwais, they are goofy looking. And
Well, one of them just looks plain evil. The other ones, they're pretty goofy.
He's got like buck teeth, and then there's another one whose eyes are just all googly, and
he seems to be on cocaine, maybe bath salts.
So Billy's got to go to dinner with that lady who's his boss there. He wants to bang him, and he tells Phoebe Cates, "Hey, go pick up Gizmo." Gizmo, and Phoebe Cates hates Gizmo, because Gizmo like ruined her life and caused all kind of problems. But he's like, "No, Gizmo's a good guy." So go down to my office, pick up Gizmo, and take him home, and, take care of him, And she's like, all right, I'll do that. So when she goes to pick up Gizmo, she picks up the googly-eyed one, and not Gizmo.
Yeah, I don't think she spent much time with Gizmo in the first one.
Apparently not. Or I think she says something. Well, she doesn't expect to be other Mogwais, so she goes down looking for a Mogwai. She sees a Mogwai. It must be Gizmo. And I think she does comment, says, wow, living in the big city really made you weird or something, because he's all googly-eyed. But, yeah, so she takes him home, and do we cut to the dinner with Billy and the lady? Is that where we're at?
Yeah.
And, she like she's putting her foot right in his lap there.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when he leaves, she just slaps a kiss on him when he's leaving.
Yeah, leaving a big old lipstick mark right on his lip there.
Yeah, and this Billy's not the brightest guy, so he doesn't even, he just goes home to Phoebe Cates with the lipstick right on his cheek.
Yep.
And so now she's all suspicious. But while Phoebe Cates is at home, she's trying to take care of little Mogwai there, and this guy is a creep, this Mogwai. He's throwing stuff at her. And, he's causing all kinds of problems. Then Billy comes home and says, this isn't Gizmo. This is a googly-eyed weirdo. Where's Gizmo? And, And they got to go back to the lab and take this guy back because there must be more Mogwai on the loose. But before they can leave, Jank, who shows up?
Oh, Mr. and Mrs. Futterman. They were supposed to be coming tomorrow, but the reunion got moved up, so they showed up now. A little bit early.
Yeah. And they were going to stay with them, but then Billy says no because we have bugs or something.
Yeah.
So the Futtermans, they go to get. Why are they in town again? They're having a reunion of sorts, or
yeah, some kind of reunion for I don't know if it's his army reunion or could be high school, but probably at his age, not a lot of people left.
No, how dare you taking a shot at Dick Miller? So they go back to the building there to take see what's going on with Gizmo. But all those other Mogwai, man, Tuffy, do you remember what they did to Gizmo? They were a bunch of jerks.
Yeah.
I don't remember. The only thing that springs to mind is crashing a toy train into
them. Yeah, that's later.
Yeah.
The first thing they did is they opened up a vent and they stuffed them in a vent. And then they put their drake.
Yeah.
So he's wandering around.
One point, one of the things they did was they put him in the copier and then like kept, you know, torturing with the bright light in the copier.
And there's also a scene later where they're just got like loose electrical wires and they're just shocking at them.
Yeah.
This whole movie is torture
this
porn.
This movie got dark. Yeah.
But yeah, the best one is the one Tuffy says they tied him up to a toy train track and they just ran a toy train into his belly. Yeah, that was pretty good.
Dude, this movie still got its dark roots in there. They're torturing the shit out of Gizmo.
Brain Gremlin just shoots another gremlin right in the face with a gun. Yeah. That was a little much for this.
Which may or may not kill them because the one gremlin got shot with like the assault rifle and was just leaking water. So didn't seem to stop him. Yeah.
All right. So yeah, they go back to the building there, and all these Mogwai are on the loose, and they are eating the shit out of food every chance they get. But
they're in like the ice cream bar.
Yeah, but it's like some this is after midnight. About, like, this was confusing. Like, you know what I mean? Like they're eating all this stuff, and it's still during the day, though, right?
This is an office building of the future.
Yeah, so, there's an after-hours sort of party area in the office building.
Oh, okay.
Ice cream bar and dance floor and, you know.
It's very popular after midnight. So the Mogwais go up there and they eat, and then, of course, this means they're going to turn into gremlins. So their little cocoons are sprouting up everywhere. And
this looks really cool, like the way they filmed this, where they had like a really close-up version where you could see the little gremlin ball like coming out of the ball and like forming and like shooting out. It was really cool looking.
You say so. And hey, this oh wait, no, that was the other movie. I think the first gremlin was released on the same day as Ghostbusters, which is crazy that those two big movies were released on the same day. And then this movie was released on the same day as Dick Tracy. Because when I was watching this, like, we forgot to mention, you mentioned it in passing, Cenk, but at the beginning of the movie, there was a Looney Tunes animated Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck sequence.
Yeah.
Chuck Jones came out of retirement to actually draw that. And it's basically to tell the people that, all right, this is what you're getting here, just the Looney Tunes kind of cartoon thing.
Mm-hmm.
And but also when I was watching the film, so it does look like a live action cartoon for most of the movie, but I did like they were shooting like a lot of like red and green coloring lights and stuff, you could tell, and it did remind me of Dick Tracy in that sense.
Oh,
did you ever see
that?
Dick Tracy? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's another movie I saw in the theaters, and when I saw that in the theaters, I hated it. So I would like to watch it again because I think it was just overhyped and I didn't really have a concept of what Dick Tracy was.
Wasn't that also a Warner Brothers movie? Why would they put out two movies in the same weekend?
I don't know. They said they wanted to put out, they had to be different companies. Because they said they released Gremlins 2 on the same day as Dick Tracy because they didn't want Dick Tracy to break some box office record that another film at their studio had made or something. So I think that's what they're doing, but I don't know. Anyway,
all right. Dick Tracy was a Buena Vista Pictures, Touchstone Pictures distribution.
Okay.
Yeah. So what are we, where are we at in this fiasco? Oh, the cocoons. The gremlins are in
there. Yeah, they're hatching.
So, oh, but first Billy and Phoebe Cates show up with a googly-eyed mogwai, and a security guard stops them, and he just pulls a gun out right away. A lot of gunplay in this movie. And he's like, let me see what you got in that bag there. And he's like, I don't think you want to see what's in that bag. And he opens the bag, and that little mogwai jumps up and just bites him on the nose.
And, yep.
Yeah. I was thinking of Ed's dog. Do you think he was humping his face when he was up there? But the guy throws the mogwai off him, and he starts shooting at the mogwai, but he gets away. And then he takes Billy. Billy doesn't, because Phoebe Cates like ducks around the corner, so the security, and Billy doesn't show any concern for Phoebe Cates at all. Like he just. He doesn't deserve Phoebe Cates is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, he's out kicking his coverage, and I don't know how he thinks he can do any better.
So the security guard takes him, but then Phoebe Cates is still free. So what does she do? She bails him out then, right?
And then he goes to like Robert Picardo and is trying to tell him, and the security team that's on the monitor is like trying to tell them, you know, hey, what's going on? There's these gremlins, they're out there, and they all start just making fun of him and asking a bunch of questions about like, oh, what if one of the gremlins is eating at like 11 o'clock at night and he gets a caraway seed stuck in his teeth. And then it comes out after midnight. He didn't technically eat that after midnight.
Yeah.
And then like, one of them gets their like throat ripped out as soon as the gremlin pops out of the control board there. So it's like, I love how he's just like, yeah, don't ask too many questions about this or you're just going to get ripped up.
Yeah, that's the first gremlin that pops up. And so, yeah, now the gremlins are on the loose, and they got to stop the gremlins. And there's also in the genetics lab, they were working on some sort of potion that could turn things into spiders. Weird.
They were working on every potion you could imagine. I don't know, they're just harvesting DNA from everything because they got a bat potion.
Bulging's potion.
Brain potion. Potion.
One of the gremlins drinks the spider potion and he turns into a giant
potion.
Giant spider gremlin. Yeah, that electricity thing is so fucking dumb.
I mean, that may stretch the rules of physics, but.
Yeah, so a gremlin turns into like electrical bolts of lightning there and he's just zipping around everywhere. And how do they stop him, Jack? What do they do to stop this lightning bolt?
Well, they catch him in the phone system and put him on hold.
As you do. And,
yep.
So fucking stupid. And
this is Mike Bell. This is genius.
So like for the next half hour, it's just the gremlins doing goofy shit. And,
We get a good shot or a good scene where like there's this redheaded lady, kind of a Julia Childs type, hosting this like basic cable cooking show. She's clearly drunk off her ass and like hosting the show. And this is where Getty Watanabe's introduced. He's like taking pictures of the whole thing, and Phoebe Cates has to be like, no pictures. And she's like doing all this stuff. And then that's when the gremlins kind of attack her and they start popping out of the food and they start throwing like metal in the microwave and they're just creating a big explosion.
Yeah. It's great.
I enjoyed it.
What else is they do a little Phantom of the Opera spoof with two gremlins for no reason.
One of them like spills acid on his face. Yeah.
And what other Mr. Futterman fights a gremlin on the streets of New York and he gets him like cuts him in cement.
And then he injects him with a bat DNA and then also like a genetic sunblock, which I don't know why he didn't give that to all of them instead of just like just one bat, but you know, maybe he's not that smart. But he gives it to this one gremlin who grows bat wings and then he can go outside. So he flies out and it makes the Batman symbol on the wall, which is pretty great. Like the 89 Batman symbol.
And then Futterman pours cement on him, and then he flies up to the top of a building, and he becomes like a, you know, gargoyle on the building.
Yeah.
But you mentioned Brainy Gremlin.
That seemed great.
No, they weren't. They were terrible. And you mentioned Brainy Gremlin. This guy, he's got glasses to show he's smart, and he's voiced by Tony Randall, and I think he also has a cardigan sweater on later on in the show. I love Brainy Gremlin. This guy's great. And like this movie, like he should have been like the villain in the movie. Like he should have been the guy. Yeah. Like he should have popped up right away, and he should have been orchestrating everything, and he should have had a master plan. But instead he just pops up occasionally. And then at the end he shows up, he's being interviewed on a TV show and he shoots that other gremlin.
Musical number.
Yeah. And then there's a big musical number, but then that's it. Like Brainy Gremlin should have been the guy. Like he should have, like it should have been Gizmo versus Brainy Gremlin. Boom. That should have been the big thing here. And, nope. Don't get that. So that sucks.
Gizmo can only take out one other gremlin. That's the spider.
Yeah. So the whole time this is going on, Gizmo's wandering around well, he's being tortured there by the other gremlins too. Yeah. He got hit by that train. And then,
yeah.
But he's had enough.
Finally had enough. Yep.
Yeah, and he breaks free from the train track. And he doesn't go full Rambo right away. First, he has to train, which
this was supposed to consist of making a bow and arrow out of a paper clip and a rubber band.
He does some weightlifting, too, don't forget.
Yeah, he does weightlifting, and he tries to hit a boxing speed bag. We don't need any of that shit, you know? Just have him say enough is enough.
Disagree.
I'm getting off this fucking train track and I'm going to go murder some fucking gremlins and just have him go do it. He goes
to have a movie without a montage. Action montage.
Yeah.
But it wasn't an action montage. It was him trying to work out and not being able to in the middle of what should have been an action sequence.
Could have gone further and made it like the full, like Rocky IV, like training montage where he's like doing those weird squats where he's like holding him. Like lifting, curling his legs in like midair.
But Rocky is training for a fight and he's training for weeks. Gizmo is trying to do one press with a dumbbell. That's not going to suddenly make you a big fighter, Gizmo. You know, just go. Just go already. But he goes through the vents and, that spider gremlin made a bunch of webs in the, building too. And like the redhead boss lady gets caught in one of the webs and she calls and Phoebe Cates comes to help her. And Phoebe Cates is, you know, not happy because she thinks this lady's banging Billy. And she's like, nah, nothing happened. You know, I wanted to bang
Billy. I just tried to seduce him.
I designs on him. Yeah. But I didn't get to first base.
So Phoebe Cates cuts her out of the webs there. But then the spider gremlin shows up. And here he comes. And he's going to kill him. But then Gizmo pops out of the vent. And he's got a little headband on like Rambo.
Yeah.
He's also playing with matches, which I don't know if a Mogwai should be doing. And he and he lights like an arrow up and he shoots the arrow, hits the spider gremlin and sets him on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking Gizmo.
He pushed him too far.
And then I don't know what else is left in this.
Daniel Clamp is going out of the building in like a secret entrance because they have a plan. They're going to set the clocks in the building ahead so the gremlins think it's nighttime, but it's really daytime. And they'll all gather in the lobby and then like they'll drop the covering that's blocking the windows. And, then they'll, you know, all get burned up in the sunlight.
Cause that's how Gizmo, the first gremlins, that's how he beat Stripe, the evil gremlin. He was driving a toy car and he like pulled open a window shade or something
it was like a greenhouse area and I think they smashed the windows or something.
And like the sunlight came in and killed Stripe. So they're trying to basically do the same thing here with all these gremlins. And, also we should mention the gremlins. There's a part where, Leonard Maltin gives a review. He's filming a review.
Yeah.
And he hated the first Gremlins. Siskel and Ebert both loved the first Gremlins. Leonard Maltin did not like the first Gremlins. So they have Leonard Maltin back for the sequel and he's reviewing a copy of the Gremlins video cassette saying how terrible it is. And then the gremlins jump on him and beat him up. And
it's like, I'm sorry, it was a 10.
But also,
we missed the part where the gremlins take over the actual movie itself.
Yes, that's what I was getting to. Why don't you explain that, Tuffy?
So you get like the film like burns up or like starts glitching, and then like you see like the film itself burning in the projector, and then you get shadows of the gremlins doing a little hand puppet Abraham Lincoln thing.
Yeah, then we get another Abraham Lincoln reference later in the film.
Oh my god, it's so good. I love that scene so much. It's perfect.
But I could have, you know, if you're already going to have one Abraham Lincoln reference, let's do something else. You know, not do it twice. 10 minutes.
Yeah. So then the gremlins start. Look at this. They just start yelling like nudie, nudie, nudie. And we don't see the naked ladies, but they start showing a black and white film with, I presume, naked ladies in it.
Yeah, it's from like the 1950s, volleyball. Like a volleyball party or whatever. Is that what it's called? Or volleyball?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
So then a mom brings her child out of the theater and complains to the theater manager and says, this is filth. My kid just wants to see this movie. And what is this for watching? So that guy goes in to take care of business and finds Hulk Hogan sitting in the movie theater and asks for his help. Yeah. And Hulk Hogan speeds up and turns around and says, you know, you think these gremsters can take on the Hulkster?
So the gremlins
get scared and they put Gremlins 2 back on.
Everybody loses when they put Gremlins 2 back on. So there's that. But Jack, why don't you explain the whole Abraham Lincoln thing in this movie and what it's referring to in the first movie?
Yeah, so there's a scene where Mr. Futterman is trying to give everybody a rousing speech about, like, you know, did George Washington give up? Did Abraham Lincoln give up? And Phoebe Cates then goes, oh, please don't mention Lincoln. Something terrible happened to me on Lincoln's birthday. Because in the first movie, there's a scene that everyone always makes fun of and always talks about because it's so out of place, where she's talking about why she hates Christmas. She has this big secret the whole movie. Oh, I hate Christmas. I don't like it at all. And she tells the story of how her dad was climbing down the chimney one night with some presents and slipped and broke his neck. And they didn't even know about it till they like lit the fire a couple weeks later and smelled like the rotting flesh. It's just like, oh my God.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like, how did that line ever, like, why was that ever in that movie? It's just nuts.
Yeah, it's so bizarre. So this one, they're like, yeah, on President's Day, like, we were off of school, and I went to the park, and some guy dressed up like Abraham Lincoln came up wearing a trench coat, and like, she starts telling the story, and Billy's just like, come on, let's go. Like, we don't have time for this.
Yeah. So if you like being children being molested in parks, it is a great joke. It is hilarious. So
I love that they recognize how weird that was, and they're like, we're going to have like weird things happen here on every holiday.
Yeah, could have done something without the, you know. Anyway. All right, so.
It's got Flash.
So anyway, the movie doesn't end, sadly. But all the gremlins, they get together, and Brainy Gremlin leads them in a big music number for some reason. And they're all singing in, like, the hotel ballroom or wherever. I don't know where the fuck they are. But they're going to do their big plan where they're going to drop the drape and put the sunlight in. But, oh, suddenly it gets cloudy. And so the sun isn't shining. So they can't do that plan. So then Billy has another plan, Jank. And what's Billy's plan this time?
Well, backup plan is to spray them with a fire hose. Get them all soaking wet, which, you know, seems like a bad idea at first.
Yeah.
Not what you want to do. It's just going to make more of them. But then he goes back because he remembers that the electrical gremlin is still on hold in the phone system. Yeah. So as they all get wet, he unleashes that electrical gremlin on the lobby there and just goes through electrocuting them all.
So genius. Fucking dumb. So dumb.
It's perfect. What do you mean?
Why would that electric gremlin kill all his buddies?
Well, he was just there. He was just joining the party and they happened to all be conducting electricity.
How did the electric gremlin die?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
He's probably still on the internet today.
Well, yeah, exactly. He also didn't kill all the gremlins because the lady gremlin was still alive.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, we forgot the lady gremlin. So that Richard Picard or whatever the fuck his name is, he's in the men's room and he's getting a call about these gremlins and he's like, yeah, whatever, I don't believe any of this or whatever. And then there's a lady gremlin in there who wants to have sex with him.
Yeah.
That's really, so that scene set up. And then later on, the film actually ends after all the gremlins die. Phoebe Cates and Billy, they have a little chat. And what do they do with Gizmo? They're going to. At the end,
they're going to keep him. Daniel Clamp was so, like, he sees a picture of their hometown that Billy had drawn, Bedford Falls, and he loves it. He's like, oh, this is what I got to build for my next place in New Jersey. I'm going to build this whole town, and I'm going to give you, you know, you're going to be my exclusive architect for this whole thing. So they're going to be sitting pretty from now on, so they can take care of Gizmo now. And
he's also going to start merchandising Gizmo.
That's all right. Macy's Day parade floats.
Do you think Billy can really keep? I mean, he seems like a fuck up. I don't know if he can watch every Gizmo. I mean,
it's gone wrong every time so far. So yeah, I don't have a lot of hope.
I guess there was a scene that got cut, or they didn't even film. They were planning to film it, but like the scientists in the lab or something come up with a waterproof suit for Gizmo to wear and keep him. But So yeah, that's, we also forgot there is a scene, I think you mentioned it briefly earlier, Jank, where that Clamp guy, doesn't he kill a gremlin by stuffing him in a paper shredder?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's something.
That's pretty great.
But so then at the very end of the film, after that, we cut to Richard Picardo in the bathroom again, and that lady gremlin, she's in a wedding dress now, and she wants to marry him, and she's got a big red lipstick on and everything, and she's coming up to him, and, he's backing up and she's like kissing him, like trying to kiss him. And then he looks at her and says, you know what? She ain't bad.
This could be worse.
Yeah. And so he starts fucking that gremlin. And that is crazy.
Yep. It's the love story we always wanted in Gremlins.
And that's how the movie ends. Yeah. I hated this movie so much.
I love it. It was all dynamite.
It fucking sucked. The beginning was terrible. I hate that Zach guy. I like Phoebe Cates. Brainy Gremlin is a superstar, and he should have been the whole thing this movie was all about Brainy Gremlin. And but everything
else. For a Best Actor nomination.
Yeah, put Brainy Gremlin down for Best Actor. But yeah, everything else, the electrical gremlin, it's just stupid. This is all fucking stupid. I just hated every second of this fucking movie. Wasn't a fan.
I loved all the satire. I'm way into it.
That I was great. Not. Hated it. Tubby, what do you think?
This movie was great. What you're talking about.
I just hated every second.
I love the genetics lab and just making all these new types of gremlins.
Yeah, this is like a solid 8 for me.
Yeah.
Wow. This is a, I'll give it a 2, because I like Brainy Gremlin and I like Phoebe Cates, and that's it.
Gizmo doesn't get a point?
I don't know. I'll be honest, there are times when I wanted to tie Gizmo to a train track, too. he wasn't helping himself, you know. So I don't know. Yeah, 2 for me. That's as high as I can go.
Wow,
just awful. Jank, did you give a score here?
I'll give it a 9. I love this movie. I've probably watched it more than the first one at this point. Like I watched the first one a lot when I was a kid, but I feel like as an adult, I've watched this one so much more.
Yeah, I can see watching this again.
Why? I don't understand.
And the puppetry is really good in here. Like, gremlins look really cool. Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought it was awful. And, yeah, not a fan. So, all right. It's on Tubi if you want to watch it, right? It's on the Tubi?
Yeah, go check it out.
Firing in 4 days, so hurry up.
What a shame. Yeah, rush to Tubi. And while you're there, also look for what was that movie the Ed told us about?
The harder they fall?
No. Didn't I say there? He said some stupid, like he made up a movie, and I said, oh yeah, I think it's on TV.
Oh, zombie.
Zombie chili. Zombie chili.
Yeah, zombie chili.
I would so watch zombie. I would watch Cigar again before I'd watch this.
Oh my God. Get out of here.
So anyway. All right. Tuffy, you up next week then?
Yeah. Has the Cherry 2000 moratorium expired yet?
It's a lifetime ban.
I want you to keep digging, Tuffy.
I saw Howard the Duck is on Tubi.
Oh, wow. That's another movie I saw in the theaters that really fucking sucks. You could do one of the Gremlin knockoffs, the Munchies or whatever those guys were.
Yeah, Critters.
Well, Critters was something different, right?
Was that? Yeah. Well, it was called a knockoff, but it was in development before Gremlins was in theaters, I think, when I was looking at stuff this week.
Yeah, there are a bunch
of Howard the Duck is a possibility, but I'll look around and see if I can find something better. Mike might kill somebody if he has to watch that.
I love Howard the Duck, the comic book, but Howard the Duck, the movie stinks. I like Leah Thompson. You do get to see some sweet duck boobs in this, though, right?
I think, yeah.
Yeah. Start
the movie off of that, I think.
I also don't like Jeffrey Jones, isn't he, in this? And, you know, he's a creep.
Oh, yeah.
I'd rather not watch him on
They did not TV. Bring him back for Beetlejuice.
Yeah. Because he's a pervert. He probably shows up in Parks with shows Flash's little girls in Parks. So let's not. I'd rather not watch a movie with him in it, if we can avoid that. But
yeah, I'll find something.
All right. So, Tuffy will be looking for something next week. Anything else this week, Jank, did you watch that was better than Gremlins 2?
Well, nothing that was better than Gremlins 2, but, Tuffy, did you watch X-Men 97?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Maybe you can explain who the people are at the end.
So that would be Bastion.
I don't even know who that guy is. So, yeah.
Oh, we talked about him actually recently because when we were talking about Nimrod. Remember Nimrod and Master Mold?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Perilous and, yeah.
I was gonna say that name before. Yeah, Nimrod becomes Bastion that he goes through. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yep. So that's who that guy was. This OZT they keep talking about is Operation Zero Tolerance, which was like a big crossover they did in like the 90s, where Bastion was kind of in with the government and was created these prime sentinels, which you kind of saw in this episode. They're like people that would turn into sentinels, essentially. And so he's kind of cracking down and trying to capture all the mutants. So that's who he is. I'm not sure why Mr. Sinister is working with him. That doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, it sounds like this cartoon doesn't make a lot of sense in terms of comic book continuity. They just jam a bunch of stories together and see what happens.
Well, I mean, that's fine. You have to do that, but there's definitely really something.
Technically, you don't have to do it.
There's definitely things that even if you're not going to do it like the comic books, I do feel like we're getting robbed on certain things. Like the promise of Magneto leading the X-Men, like never really happened. It was like, oh, here's Magneto at the end of episode one. He's like, the school is mine now. And then the next episode, he's on trial. Then they just kind of get attacked by Madeline Pryor going crazy. And then the next episode, he's basically not in it because it's just about Jubilee and Mojo World and Storm and Forge. And then the next episode, he's like, I'm going to lead Genosha now. Bye. And then he seemingly dies. And then Professor X is coming back now. So it's like we never actually got Magneto leading the X-Men. That never happened, really.
Yes, so, I don't know. I just hate this kind of shit because now people who've only seen these cartoons, they're going to think, oh, well, these are the stories. No, they're not. They're not the stories.
Well, I mean, it's still a lot more accurate than a lot of the other cartoons, like X-Men Evolution, where they're like all in high school, like the X-Men and the Brotherhood are in high school together.
It seems like Archie Comics meets the X-Men.
Yeah pretty much. Yeah, it was a weird choice.
Tuffy, are you still enjoying the X-Men 97?
Yeah. It's fine. I'm not sure what to put on. It just goes half an hour.
I don't know what Bastion was doing with Magneto there at the end. Like, I don't know. Like, it seemed like he was going to torture him, but as a robot, I don't know what that really gets you. It doesn't seem like he'd be getting his jollies out of that, out of torture as a robot.
Well, it sounds like Jank gets jollies out of torturing things. What is going on there? Jank really loves seeing Gizmo put through the ringer. He's really.
And speaking of voices, they chose a weird voice for Bastion there. Figured as a robot, he would have a lot deeper of a voice. He's kind of like shrill.
Is it Howie Mandel?
Yeah, pretty much. It's kind of like a surfer bro almost.
Watch anything else this week, Jack?
I think so. What have I been watching? I don't know. I did get to watch a little more Cheers, finally.
Oh, wait, what did you say, Jay?
Watch a little more Cheers.
Oh, there you go.
Let's move on.
You're into the Rebecca seasons now, right?
Yep.
What did you say?
Her boss is showing up a lot more.
Which boss?
The one like, that she's up with, Evan Drake.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you're in season six then. Yeah, Evan Drake.
Yep. Yeah. And Carla just had her twins.
Elvis and Jesse, the twins. Yeah. Oh, did you see the one where, because like she's trying to prevent, there's a string of episodes where she kind of says she's dating Sam or.
Yeah. Like,
and they go on this yacht.
Yep. And, oh, yeah. That's the one I just watched the first half of that one.
It's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. That girl's pretending to be his sister.
Yep. You probably haven't seen the one then where Sam's on the baseball team, the corporate baseball team, right? Or the corporate softball team, I guess. But that comes in later. Like Evan gives him a job at corporate because he just wants him to play on the softball team. But Sam thinks he got the job because of his merits. You know, like he's just awesome.
Yeah.
And so Rebecca has to break it to him. Nah, you're just a ringer, you know. But it's a good episode. Yeah. Good old Cheers. Tuffy, what have you been watching?
I watched Spider-Man No Way Home.
Oh, boy.
Spider-Man No Way Home. Is that...
Yeah.
Is that Mysterio? The
multiverse one.
No, that's with all the Spider-Men.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Tobey Maguire and all that crap.
What a load of shit.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but when Jank broke it down for us, when he saw it, it sounded so stupid. It just
it's really just was. So dumb.
Yeah.
None of it makes any sense. Like, Peter Parker is just the worst. Every decision he makes
is terrible. Universe this is in should get a different Peter Parker, because this is the worst Peter Parker. This is worse than emo Peter Parker.
I like him so much in the Avengers movies, but in his own movies, he just makes the dumbest decisions ever.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any of the new Spider-Man. I just see him in the Avengers stuff. That's all I know him from.
I wouldn't waste your time on any of the three.
Yeah.
None of them are good.
You know, all right.
The side characters don't work. Like, even J.B. Smoove. How do you fuck up having J.B. Smoove in your movie
and
not have him be funny?
Who does he play?
One of the high school teachers or principal or something. I forget. Martin Starr, also one of the high school teachers.
Yeah.
And they don't do anything funny between the two of them.
Is that the guy from Party Down?
Yeah.
Like
Party Down in Silicon Valley. Two hilarious shows, and he does nothing funny in the Spider-Man movies.
Yeah. Seems like a weird choice. I heard that they're trying to fast-track a Spider-Man 4 at this point.
What? Oh, no.
Take your time for that shit. Do it at all.
Hey, I saw the Wolverine
also,
dead.
Spider-Man doesn't know anybody anymore, and nobody knows Spider-Man. Everybody's dead.
But Jack, the Deadpool Wolverine trailer, I saw that.
Oh my god, it looks amazing. Yeah.
You're excited then, huh?
I need to see that just like the very first second I possibly can. It looks incredible.
I've not been
excited for a movie in a long time. Yeah.
It looks okay. I don't know if it looks incredible or anything. But,
I don't know. I liked it a lot.
Fair enough.
Looks very funny. Disney did not tone it down, it looks like, so that's pretty great.
Yeah. But it's more multiverse nonsense, right?
Yeah. But I don't know. I think it'll work. It looks like they're doing a better version of Old Man Logan than the Logan movie did. Because you actually see like the giant, you know, giant man's like dead corpse and stuff, which is more from like the Old Man Logan storyline. It was like Pym Falls where it was just, you know, giant man's skeleton and it was giant size.
How did Wolverine didn't kill him in Old Man Logan, right? Did he? How did he kill Giant Man? How did he die in?
No, he didn't kill Giant Man. It was more like the villains all got together and it was like a coordinated effort. So like they all kind of teamed up and like Wolverine killed the X-Men because Mysterio made him confused. But like the other villains, like, you know, took out the other heroes.
Okay. I just watched Love Boat and more Love Boat.
Did you finish Taskmaster, Mike Dell?
I tapped out on 16. And
yeah.
I never started 17.
I guess 17. Okay, yeah, I think they might still be rolling out the new ones. I don't think they all came out at once.
Yeah, I think it is a slow roll, and I didn't even start it yet. And I still didn't go back to. I didn't watch any Taskmaster this week at all, so I still didn't go back and watch that Champions season, the second one or whatever.
Yeah.
There's also holiday specials or something, or New Year special, or.
Yeah. They have like British celebrities on those ones. Like, not higher level celebrities or not comedy celebrities, I guess.
All right. I was going to say,
people they have on the show. Yeah. Like, I think I watched one of those, and it's like one of the people's like a news presenter they had on, and like more dramatic actors as opposed to like comedy.
I think, isn't Alex Murray doing a news presenter lady? I think so.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. So, all right, what else? Hey, Champion stuff. They released the Great Muta today.
Yeah.
Have you tried to fight the Great Muta yet?
I did. Seems fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, unless you have a submission right away, you're fucked. So.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, his move, one of his moves, Jank, he breaks all the gems on the board twice. So,
yeah,
like when this game started, it was like impossible to break all the gems on the board. It was really hard to do. And then over the years, it's just everyone does it. And he does it twice with one move. And then he also doesn't he get like 999% more gem damage the next time he does it or something?
Like 1,000% gem damage boost, which is absurd in this game.
Yeah, so he hits you, you're fucked. So unless you have a
most of the cards in this game, if you can get a 1 to 200% gem damage boost, like it's a one punch knockout.
Yeah,
wow. If he gets 1,000% gem damage boost and clears the board twice.
So fucking stupid. Every character they're releasing now is just absurd. Like you can't do anything. And I saw Tuffy in the shop. They're selling that purple Oscar for $40.
Yeah. What do you think, Mike Dell?
I can't do it. I'm not spending $40 on this fucking game anymore. I haven't spent money on this game in years. Smart move. And I can't do it. I'm tempted there, Tuffy. I am tempted. But yeah, I'm not doing it. Not doing it.
Sure you'd have that Oscar already.
Yeah, maybe if the Ed sends me, $40 out of that $70,000 he got. I'll buy Oscar.
I never gave you a birthday present, Mike. I'll send you $40 if you want that off.
Well, I appreciate that, Tommy, but that's okay. Because they weren't. If I know Scopely,
enough money on this game, another $40 is a drop in the bucket at this point.
if I know Scopely, though, Tommy, the reason they're selling her for $40 this month is because next month you'll probably be able to get her for free very easily. So,
yeah.
Because they did start putting her shards in bags you can get for free. Like this month, you're getting some shards.
Yeah, they started doing that with all of the chase characters now show up also in the showdown shop.
But she's 5,000 shards, which is absurd.
Yeah.
Like most of them are 2,000. She's 5,000.
Spend the $40, Mike Dell. It's fine.
I'm not giving them any more fucking money. I'm not doing it. I don't know. I'll get her eventually at some point. I did take Green Osk up to 6-star silver, so that was nice this week.
Yeah.
I'm still like 42 shards away from Blue Osk going up, and it's so fucking hard to get those damn shards. But so that's something. But yeah, I don't know about champions, man. Driving me nuts.
Yeah, I hear you. Because I think they also fucked up the scaling on the month-long contest this month, because...
Well, never matters to me, because I never get anywhere near finishing it, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'm at like a similar overall rank as I have been in the past when I complete the month-long thing. And I did see a post on Facebook today from someone else like, does it seem like they fucked this up? Because this seems way lower than it should be.
They pretty much fuck up everything. And, hey, I guess I don't have Grayson Waller, but I guess there's controversy this week because they changed the color of Grayson Waller's move, and people were outraged about this. Did you see that?
Yeah, because when they set him up, I guess they didn't realize that there's a skill plate that can make him basically so his turn never ends, I think.
Oh, just like all these other new characters. That's the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, yeah, at WWE tonight, they're having their draft, like we said. The first pick overall, they break up the talent pools. So, you know, and I think Roman Reigns said he's taking himself out. You know, I can go draft him or something. Is that what I heard?
Yeah.
I
don't... Yep, that is correct.
But who went first? I can't even remember. Bianca? Did she go first?
Blair. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Carmelo Hayes went at some point. Bron Breakker went to Raw, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, Bianca's on SmackDown. Carmella's on SmackDown. Seth Rollins went to Raw. I think Damage Control is eligible on Monday. They're not up tonight.
Okay. So.
Yeah, I don't know if they draft. I guess they draft them all at once, Damage Control.
Because that seems to change depending on who you're talking about, whether they're drafted as a person or as a faction or whatever.
They'll probably keep them together, I would imagine, just because, you know.
Yeah, I think.
What else? Jank, any other news on your end?
I don't think so.
Huh. We are sad, sad people.
I think I picked a movie while you were talking about Cheers.
Oh, we're going to watch Cheers. Oh. Great. Cheers the movie.
Now, 1995's Fair Game, starring Billy Baldwin and Cindy Crawford.
I was going to say, I'm aware of this movie. I never watched
Everyone's
it.
Everyone's favorite, Baldwin.
I am aware of this film. Yeah, Cindy Crawford. Yeah. She's still getting it done. So.
Yeah, looks like she might be naked in it. So, you know, that's something.
And she was everywhere in the 90s, like the mid-90s.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was. MTV's House of Style. Remember that? She did that. And everyone loves Cindy Crawford. all right. Well, I guess we got nothing else. We are sad, pitiful men. I guess there is a feud tonight, Tuffy, over champions. There's a feud. So.
People say.
And I guess maybe if I feud a little bit, I'll be able to get some Oscar shards. So I can only be like 3,000 away from her now.
I've been a feud the whole time we've been talking, pretty much. So.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Nice.
Son of a bitch. So, all right. Flea Market Fantasy up there right now is Zatanna.
And, yeah.
Yeah, no one's watching that. She's in like the 20s. But here's the thing, though, Jank. After the first, I think YouTube, they're doing some shady shit. Because, like, after the first day, she had some views. And then the second day I checked, she was down to zero again. So,
what the hell?
I don't know what YouTube's doing over there. They're running some sort of scheme. They're throttling us because they don't want us to break into superstardom.
You know that all of our subscribers are bots.
Yeah. So I did see we're up to 206 subscribers. We picked up a couple more, I think. Yeah. That's pretty good. But yeah, Zatanna is there now. And then what did we record this week? The Incredible Hulk fighting Absorbing Man. Yeah.
Yep.
So that's
exciting
good.
Conclusion to that one.
So that'll be up next week. And Tuffy, what are we watching? Fair Game. Billy
Fair
Baldwin.
Fair Game.
And Cindy Crawford.
Billy Baldwin, Cindy Crawford.
Yeah. That'll be awesome.
It appears to be a runner-up to being the worst movie when it came out because it lost all the Razzies to Showgirls, and it lost the Stinker Bad Movie Awards to It's Pat.
Wow.
It's Pat.
Tough competition that year.
Yeah.
It's Pat. All those Saturday Night Live movies are so terrible. Ladies Man.
That's great. Ladies Man, good.
It wasn't great, but it had Tiffany Evers in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we watched that on the show, right?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. I love the Ladies Man, though.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. All right. So next week, we'll be back. More bullshit. And until then, pass the mochi cheese, Governor Abby.
Thank you very much.